Today's podcast is sponsored by Audible. Check out audiblepodcast.com/RHAP to find out how you can get a free audiobook download. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now... here's the guy who's entering a contest to see who can be the most in touch with their inner Enel Adam, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. And that's an old joke for you guys who've been listening for a long time. Yes, it is Rob Has a Podcast on a Survivor recap episode of episode number 8 from Survivor Caramone, Blindside Time. Very sad after Corinne, good friend of the podcast, she went out in a... true blaze of glory. That's how you go out in a big way, the way that Corinne went out. That is going out guns blazing, going out with a blast. So good for Corinne. An exciting episode. If we can't take anything else away, very exciting episode last night of Survivor. So we've got a really great show for you guys today. We're going to be speaking with the woman who is so good at Survivor. She has won the game not once, but twice. Sandra Diaz-Twine is going to join us here to talk some Survivor, and I'm sure she has a lot to say about everything going on. And for some reason, I feel like she's going to have a lot to say about Philip this season and ask her what she thought of Corinne and all that good stuff. Plus, we've got a lot of stuff to get to. As always, we're going to listen to some of your voicemails. We're going to hear what the survivors are saying on social media. So a very big show planned for you guys here on a Rob Has a Podcast recap episode. Now, of course, this is not the first time I'm talking about this Survivor episode. Last night after the episode, as we do every week, 9:15 p.m. Eastern, live with Stephen Fishback, we did our Survivor Know-It-Alls of the best episode of the season so far. Had a great show breaking everything down with Stephen. And then this morning, I spoke with Corinne, had a really good exit interview. Corinne got to tell her side of the story of what happened. Corinne's always going to get her shots in as well. So really strong interview by Corinne on the robhasawebsite.com. And speaking of robhasawebsite.com, thank you guys for the month that we've just had. Now, it is a perfect storm out there of reality TV, and we are your audio umbrella. We are podcasting about 4 different reality TV shows right now: The Survivor, The Celebrity Apprentice, The Amazing Race, and even Big Brother Canada. But it is the perfect storm out there, and we're hanging in there. That the roof is holding up, and we are podcasting away to the tune of 200,000 audio downloads. We're not even counting the YouTube channel. 200,000 audio downloads in March. So thank you guys for listening to so much of this nonsense. It really is amazing that you guys listened to so many of these shows. So if you will keep listening, I will keep making them. So thank you very much. 200,000 downloads. And also on the actual website itself, we killed the previous record for website visits in a month as well. We beat the previous record from last month by 30,000 visits. So great job to you guys who keep coming to the website and coming back. And this guy truly, truly appreciates it. So thank you guys very much. Now, you heard me say at the top of the podcast, this podcast was sponsored by Audible. And that was no lie. This is actually true. We always appreciate when Audible helps sponsor the podcast. And as many of you guys know, I love not just podcasts, audiobooks as well. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but I listen to a lot of audiobooks too. And I'm listening to a really great audiobook right now by a guy who I actually listen to him podcast as well. You guys know I love Chuck Klosterman. He is on a lot with Bill Simmons on ESPN. And he also does podcasts for Grantland in addition to being on the BS Report. But he is a great author, and he writes about pop culture a lot. He also has some fiction books, but the book I'm reading right now is called Eating the Dinosaur. And it's a couple years old, but it is a great audiobook. It's read by Chuck Klosterman himself, and it's a lot of like pop culture essays, the kind of stuff that I like to talk about on this podcast when I get a chance. He's got a chapter about why Garth Brooks decided to be Chris Gaines, and another chapter about how laugh tracks are horrible and what we learn about ourselves from why there's laugh tracks on TV. A really great chapter about time travel in the movies and why it doesn't work out ever and why we can't time travel, which I disagree with. But Chuck Klosterman, always interesting, always does a good job. And that is one of the 100,000 books and more available on Audible. So if you want to go ahead and get yourself a free audiobook download in whatever type of book that you would like, you can do so when you sign up for Audible. Go to audiblepodcast.com/RHAP and get a free audiobook download. And if you do sign up and if you do use Audible like I do, let me know what you're listening to on Audible, because I'm always, you know, I burn through these audiobooks very quickly and I'm always looking for another good listen. And you guys know the kind of stuff that I like. So keep me posted on what you're listening to, and I will, you know, share when I have a good one, and I hope you guys do the same. All right, everybody, so let's bring in our guest tonight. She is a woman who, much like Corinne, never has a problem speaking her mind, but for this guest, things went a lot better than they did for Corinne last night, because she is the only two-time winner ever in the history of Survivor. Please welcome the queen, Sandra Diaz-Twine.
Yay!
Sandra, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited. I hate that Corinne went home. I really wanted her to go far. She was the only one smart enough to target Phillip. I wish she wouldn't have told Don anything. It's just a hard pill to swallow. I wanted her to go further and further in the game. And I felt like she changed a lot from the first time that she played the game. You know, she chose her words wisely this time around, or, you know, she wasn't a beast this time. But I really enjoy watching Corinne play the game, and she's really smart, and I love everything she had to say, and I wish things would have panned out for her, because, you know, her strategy was good. It just did not pan out.
I'm a big Corinne fan as well, and I'm very sad to see her go. But how come, and you tell me if I'm wrong about this, you know, when you play Survivor, you also tell people what you really think a lot, but it doesn't result in you getting voted out. How come that is?
Well, the problem was that, see, she didn't realize that in her telling Don that she had all these people lined up, Don probably said, wait a minute, where do I fit into this big picture? You know, like, she's already had all these four or five or six people lined up, and she's telling Don, you know, like, hey, you're going to be number six or number seven, whatever number Don's probably thinking. Had she came to me and hashed out this plan with me, it would have been a different story, because, okay, well, I'm one of the two up there at the top, you know. But I think the fact that she told Don after all the pieces were in the right place, as she thought, that's what actually hurt her, because then everybody else is thinking, wait a minute, if she's with them, then she's against us, and they're going to try to come after us, so then we got to get rid of her. Mm-hmm. That's how I think all of that fell apart.
Okay, so it had nothing to do with her speaking her mind. She has that part of the game the correct Sandra way, but it's the strategic part that's the problem here.
Right. Speaking her mind, I don't think that's a big deal, because people like to know where you're coming from, you know. And with me, when people would ask me something, either I liked it or I didn't like it, and I wasn't going to eat it, and I let them know, you know. But a lot of times, too, when someone has a plan and they've been thinking through it, and they think they've covered all their bases, it's hard to tell them that their plan isn't the best plan, you know. And when you do that, you have to be careful. You have to choose your words wisely, or you might hurt their feelings, and then they think, wait a minute, you know, what if she's coming after me, or what is the reason why she doesn't like my plan? So a lot of times you have to be careful who you tell and how you tell. And if you don't like their plan, you just have to say, you know, this is the reason why, or I don't know. I just felt that the way she told Don how the plan was going to hatch out was what did it for her. And not only that, she didn't even know that it was happening. I mean, she was shocked at tribal council that she went home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I spoke with Corinne this morning. I did my interview with Corinne. And what Corinne said in the interview was that she said things were shown out of order from how they happened. And she said that she was much closer with Dawn than they ever showed on the show. And Dawn was like one of her closest allies. And she came to Dawn because she didn't think they had Eric. And she thought they needed her vote. And it was before everybody decided on Sherry. That was when she talked to Dawn. So she wasn't happy with how the show was put together.
Oh, okay. And I could understand that because sometimes this stuff does get switched around. I mean, I would see myself and I'm like, did I say that? Did I do that? No, that didn't happen like that. You know, like, it's crazy out there. You lose track of what you're doing. But I mean, if she said it, I mean, it's still fresh in her mind, so I would believe what she said. But it appeared to me that Dawn kept insisting that, you know, last time she was done in by Cochran for, you know, her failure to open her mouth and reveal that something was going on, and then she was taken down because of his actions. And this time she wasn't going to let someone else determine her fate. So all this time I've been thinking that, you know, if Corinne's plan, you know, didn't put her in a good position, she wasn't going to go along with it. I think that's what happened. I mean, although I believe Corinne that it just didn't happen the way they showed it on TV, but at the end of the day, you know, Dawn wasn't feeling her plan, and she was like, I'm not going to let you dictate how my game's going to be played.
So, Sandra, do you think that is Dawn playing the Sandra game this season?
What's the Sandra game?
Well, I think that, and I have recently,
as long as it ain't me.
Well, I think that's part of it. But it's also, I think that, you know, you're somebody who people, they don't tend to target, and also somebody who is sort of a broker of information that people often, trust you and tell you a lot of things. And I feel like that Dawn is sort of set up similarly to how you have been set up in your seasons.
I mean, if you put it like that,
you don't cry as much.
No, and you know, and I was saying the other day that it irritates me when she makes all these faces at tribal council like she's so hurt over sending somebody home. Hey, it's either you or it's me. It's me getting closer to the $1 million. You going home, you got to go. All these faces, like she's really like having such a hard time dealing with sending someone home. Like, I feel it's so phony. It really aggravates me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of two things. Either Dawn is really very nice, and I tend to believe that she's very nice because she's very nice outside of the game also, or she's an incredible actor, and she's taking this very, very far. So I don't know if she's is she laying it on a little thick? Maybe, but I don't know. I feel like if this all is an act, she's taking it very far.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I dislike her or anything like that. I haven't met her, but it's just little things like that when I'm in a bad mood, like that'll just drive me bananas, you know, like every time somebody does something, every time somebody argues, you want to cry, you want to make these faces, and I just can't deal with that. Yeah. I really can't.
It was such an exciting episode last night because everything was going so haywire and you really didn't know what was going to happen. For Corinne, I really felt like they had it. They had everything nailed down. And when Philip says to Corinne, we need to split the votes, and when she's arguing with Philip about, no, we're not splitting the votes, I felt like that was where it really slipped through her fingers, because that would have been the perfect time when they're splitting the votes to for their group to take the numbers advantage.
Right. And even last week when Philip wanted, you know, the vote split, and he's always wanting these votes split just to make sure, just to be on the safe side. But, and I understand that. But even last week when he wanted it split and she didn't want to do it, but she still did it. And I'm thinking, like, if you didn't want to do it, just keep your mouth shut and vote the way you want to vote anyway and make sure that Michael stays in the game, which he did, you know. But her arguing with him lets him know, hey, listen, she's not going to be under my control. Eventually, I'm going to send her home. Like, when she gets to be you know, when she hits the fan, it's going to be time to cut her loose. And then she put herself in a bad situation when he could have easily targeted other fans before, you know, they started cutting each other's throats. So, yeah, sometimes when people, you know, like I said, like Phillip, for instance, the specialist, how he comes up with these big plans, and I'm sure he does A, B, C, or D when he's planning all these little stages. And so when you tell him, no, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, then to him it's like, wait a minute, she's going against everything that I want to do. Therefore, she's a threat to me. Therefore, I'm going to take her out before she takes me out. And that's what happened.
Now, we're talking about splitting votes, and we're talking about, you know, a lot of different things right now. And now, Steven last night on the Survivor Know-It-Alls show that we do right after the episode, he compared the closest that we've ever seen to what happened to Corinne. He said it's almost like Tyson with you guys on Heroes versus Villains, where he says basically Corinne voted herself out of the game last night. And basically the same thing happened to Tyson, where he overthought what was going on too much. Do you see any parallels between what you saw happen with Tyson and what happened with Corinne last night?
No, I don't think so. With Corinne, it was a blindside. With Tyson, it was different because he was being told different things by different people. And so in his head, he was like, okay, if I vote this way, then this will happen. And it ended up being the opposite. And that's what they wanted, for him to throw his vote somewhere else to where it didn't count and they'd have the upper hand. So that was just a bunch of confusion. I mean, like I said before, I didn't even understand it until I saw it on TV play out a month later, you know. We really didn't understand what the heck just happened. How in the hell did this happen? We just didn't understand it. And when you don't understand something like that, you're like, somebody did something. Who did it? Because obviously it couldn't have been Tyson, which it was. You know, like, obviously, like, who in our alliance is not faithful, is playing both sides, or is, you know, taking matters into their own hands and doing whatever they want to do. And so we just didn't understand it. And a lot of trust, you know, went out the door that night as people tried to figure out, wait a minute, let me think back on conversations and things that had happened and try to figure out who could possibly have done this to Tyson, you know?
And it was Tyson.
And it was Tyson. It sure was. But like I said, we didn't understand it. We didn't get it. And a lot of times people tell you, well, I voted this way and I voted that way. But can you really believe them?
Mm-hmm. No.
You know, or they just throw out a vote just for the hell of it to scare somebody, you know, for the future, you know, just to create chaos. So you really don't know who did what. You really can't take their word for it. Come on, it's Survivor.
So, Sandra, let's talk a little bit about the specialist, because I would love to know what would happen if you were on the island with the specialist. Would you be able to get along with the specialist?
No. I mean, I've been around Phillip and I get along with Phillip, but I'm the kind of player where I'm just not going to have you telling me every time I'm going to do something what I'm going to do, you know? Like, it's your way or the highway, you know? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And that's what he does. He tells them, you know, like, you're going to be here, here, here. Like when he told Brandon, you know, you don't question the CEO and your middle management. Mm-hmm. I would have been like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're about to get fired. You know, like, I'm about to put you out of your misery. So, but yeah, the way he dictates to them, the way he dictates to them what's going to happen and how it's going to happen.
Well,
I understand that the fans don't have a choice because they're trying to stay in the game as long as they can.
Well, let me stop you there. And so I'm trying to think of some situations where somebody in your games came to you and said, all right, Sandra, here is the plan. And I don't remember you telling them to their face, hey, F you, this is not what we're doing. I remember you saying to the camera, hey, F you, I'm saying I'm going along with it, but I'm really not going along with it. I remember in the Pearl Islands when Johnny Fairplay is telling you, when you guys voted out Burton, what the plan is, and you're telling him that you are swearing on your kids that you're going to vote him out of the game, even though you agreed to go along with his plan. And
that was at the end. That was when we were close to the end, because I'm starting to think, like, what is he talking about? Yeah.
didn't Russell also towards the end of Heroes versus Villains come to you and say, all right, this is how it's going to be. I want to go to the end with you.
Yeah, well, Russell at the end, that was fresher in my mind. You mean like what, Final Four?
Yeah, so you're saying if it's closer to the end, you're not as likely to tell somebody to go F themselves?
No. I'm just saying that with the Pearl Islands being so long ago, it's hard for me to remember everything that happened out there, where Heroes versus Villains is fresher in my mind because it was just, what, three years ago?
Yeah.
I don't remember. But look, no. When it came down to the Final Four on Heroes and Villains, Jerry had said to me, hey, Sandra, it's me, you, and Russell, Final Three, you know, like, we're going to vote out Parvati. And I'm like, okay. And Russell's saying, hey, it's me, you, and Parvati. We're going to get rid of Jerry. And Parvati's like, hey, it's me, you, and Russell. So why should I say anything if I'm going to the Final Three?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be an idiot to say, hey, Jerry, by the way, although me and you are friends and we've become friends and we've become tight, you know, you're going to get voted out tonight. And then they come, you know, like, that could potentially harm my game where I'm in a good spot. And,
yeah.
And that happened to me on Pearl Islands when, you know, Lil was like, no matter what, Sandra, it's me and you. And John's like, no matter what, it's me and you. So I'm like, oh, shit. Well, okay, then I'm going to the final two no matter what.
Well, I think what's going on with the specialist is that I think that a lot of people he's saying to a lot of people, hey, you're in the final three. We're going to go to the end. So I think a lot of people are just like, all right, fine. You know, he's getting on my nerves, but I'll live with it.
Yeah, and I can understand that, but at the same time, they have to say, wait a minute, there's six of us out here, so between us six, who's bottom six and who's bottom five? You know, we need to do something to make sure we're one and two, or at least two and three. You know, you never want to be at the bottom, and I've been at the bottom a ton of times, and I've always masterminded some plan to get the hell off that position and move myself up in the ranks.
Yeah.
And that's what Survivor is all about changing your situation, you know?
So, Sandra, something that you and Philip both have in common is that you both have a mutual friend in the author of the BR Rules, Boston Rob himself. So as a Boston Rob expert, do you feel like Philip is doing a good job playing a Boston Rob game?
Well, Philip is one of those people that analyzes everything, and I think he gives Boston Rob too much credit, you know, because for Boston Rob to go to the end, he needed people on his side. You know, you can't get to the end of the game by yourself. You know, it takes numbers. And when I played with Boston Rob, I mean, when he played the fourth time, he was a seasoned player by then. You would hope he had learned something on his first, second, and third season, you know what I'm saying, to make him this awesome player in season four, I mean his fourth season. But when he played out there with us, he wasn't that Boston Rob, you know?
He was rusty, right?
Well, you know, he had that one time where he fell out because he didn't want to drink water, and we would kill the chickens, and he didn't want to eat the food. Like, maybe his heart wasn't in the game, I don't know.
No, he's a very picky eater.
Yeah, and even when him and Russell were going at it, like, I'm the king here, you know, where it was Courtney, Boston Rob, and me versus Russell, Danielle, and Parvati, it was 3-3. You know, they were going at it, and that was like, it's either him or it's me, but that was it. There was no other plan. There was no, this is how we're going to do it. This is how I'm going to make sure that I stay in the game. It was more or less of, it's either going to happen like this or it's going to happen like that. And either he goes home or I go home, but one of us two is going home tonight. You know, so he didn't make it a point to, I don't know. It's just, he was a different Boston Rob when I played with him versus when he played. But you got to understand too, he was playing with a bunch. It was just him and Russell were the only veterans out there. I think these people were in La La Land that they were playing with Boston Rob.
Yeah. So do you not buy into the BR rules? Or are you saying that the BR rules came into effect after you played with Boston Rob?
Yeah, definitely, because he didn't have that kind of control over us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do you agree with the BR rules? Do you think anybody else can play as Boston Rob, or only Boston Rob could be Boston Rob?
only Boston Rob can be Boston Rob. And the fact that Philip is always talking BR and Boston Rob, BR and Boston Rob, you know, these people are getting irritated with him. You know, Boston Rob ain't even out there, and we hear his name every week. They should cut him a damn check. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's ridiculous. And I bet he didn't even realize that he did that until he saw it on TV. Because, like I said, you do things and say things that you don't even remember. Like, I say it over and over. I would do shit and hear, like, damn, did I say that? Did I do that? I don't remember that. But I'm almost sure that in his subconscious, he doesn't realize that he's doing that, you know? But he's dead set on that. For Philip to win Survivor, he must follow the Boston Rob game. Like, he has to play the Boston Rob way. And I don't think he was there every time Boston Rob did something. So some of the stuff he might be pulling out of his ass, he might be crediting Boston Rob when Boston Rob probably didn't have shit to do with it, or it was just damn luck.
Now, if Philip wins the game, does he have to give Boston Rob commission?
He should, but if Philip wins that game, he's playing with a ton of idiots, let me tell you. If he wins or even makes it to the final four, these people shouldn't even be out there.
Yeah. Well, so you would get rid of Philip. You wouldn't want to keep him around.
I wouldn't want to keep him around.
See, I would.
Because you know what? No, I'm the kind of person where I need to get along with people. Like, I can't have somebody that irritates me. And like I said, I've met Philip before, and he's fine. But me being on an island with him for 39 days and having to put up with his bullshit, that would drive me insane. And I need to be happy. When I used to wake up sometimes on the Pearl Island and I would see Lil still there, I would just start just cussing her out. I mean, it was crazy. I could not take Philip. Okay, not for no 39 days. You can forget that.
Now, one of the things Philip said last night, he told Andrea, he said, "All right, Andrea, tonight when you're laying in your bed, I want you to close your eyes and pretend you're Boston Rob." Now, have you ever done this, Sandra? Have you ever done this exercise when you're on Survivor?
No, and I must have missed that. I didn't hear him say that.
Yes, he told her that, and think about what would Boston Rob do right now.
Jesus.
Now, I tried this last night, Sandra. When I went to bed last night, I tried to pretend that I was Boston Rob, and boy, Nicole did not like this.
What? That's so stupid. That's just. I'd be like, this dude is off his rocker. Like, this is a fucking nut.
I called her Amber. I was checking Red Sox scores. It was not a night to remember.
I would beat your ass too. That's ridiculous. But you know, they catch him saying all this stuff. I bet that's how he breathes and thinks and speaks Boston Rob. That's it. And Boston Rob ain't even thinking about him. He's probably laughing at this fool. Like, look at this clown here trying to be Boston Rob. You can't be Boston Rob.
Yeah, I don't know if Boston Rob appreciates people trying to be like him.
I'm sure he's happy that someone is emulating his game and thinks so highly of him. You know, and like I said, Boston Rob only won that season because he was playing with a bunch of newbies that didn't know anything about Survivor, you know, and it took him four times to get it right. But look who they put him up against, you know. So, you know, I can't give him 100% credit for them throwing just anybody out there to play against him.
All right, let's talk about, I know from, I used to watch you when you used to be on the RTV zone during Survivor South Pacific. I know that you loved Cochran on Survivor South Pacific. Sandra, do you still love Cochran on Survivor Karamoan?
Yes, I love Cochran. I'm glad that he won that challenge yesterday. I've never won a challenge, and I would have been, you know, jumping for joy, and I would have been a bad sportsman too, because I would have threw it in their faces. I would have wore my doggone immunity all night and probably slept with it, you know, because I've never had it before. I think Cochran's playing a good game. I like to listen to him talk, And I like that he's fitting in because he's not the usual person that would fit in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And my love for him came when he played the first season, you know, and I've met Cochran and spent some time with him in New York. And he really is a genuine guy. He's somebody that I wouldn't mind sleeping next to for 39 days. He's
Whoa.
The total opposite of Philip. You know, I mean, not spooning or anything, but I'm saying, like, you know, just shooting the shit under the shelter. Because we're two different kind of people. So I would be, you know, I would just be all ears and listening to him and, you know, I like Cochran. I really do. And I wish him luck in this game. And I'm sure he's going to go far. He's in a good spot right now.
He is in a good spot. Now, he won the gross food challenge last night. Now, you participated in a gross food challenge, right? Oh, but just one in Survivor Pearl Islands. And I don't remember how you did. I remember, who was the girl? Michelle? Was that the girl that everybody got, that you guys lost, that, and everybody got pissed off because Michelle was supposed to fake?
Pretend. She was supposed to pretend.
But then she did it really fast. And then did they put you in the tiebreaker? Was that what happened?
They put me in the tiebreaker, and I ended up with Jeff Special, and it just smelled nasty. And then it was some whoop stuff, you know, like they blended it all together, and then they put the sardine on top, and my sardine was full of sand, and I would spit it. I'd spit a portion into one hand and try to eat what I had spit into the other hand and put it in, spit it out, put it in, spit it out, put it in, spit it out. I just couldn't get it down. It has such a nasty, rank smell because it was something. He added something that had been fermented, and the flies were on it, and little things were wiggling around in it. I'm thinking, like, I can't fucking eat that. In a way, she didn't do what she was supposed to do because she was like, oh, I've been training for Survivor for years. You know, like, I do all this stuff. Okay, well, great. You'll be the pawn. Like, you better make sure that it's horrible. It's the worst thing you've ever had. So they can pick you to go up there and do it again, and you'll kill it. You know, you'll win. And she didn't follow through.
Yeah.
But at the same time, so she was always in a bad position, too, because she was with Burton and Sean. And you know, they were the alpha male that thought that they were running the show. So, in a way, you know, she didn't do what she was supposed to do, and then she paid the price for it.
Yeah. So, do you like, as a viewer, when they do the gross food challenge? I know you don't like it when you have to drink the gross food. Do you like watching that? Are you excited when they bring it out?
I like to see other people do it. I wish they would give it to the loved ones again, you know, when the family comes, because I think it's a challenge that overall is equal. It doesn't benefit one person over the other. You know what I'm saying? It's either you eat it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like running back and forth, doing this and doing that, something physical. So I wish they would just leave that gross food challenge to the families. And the challenge I'd like to participate in, if I ever went back, I want him to give me money so I can buy burgers. You know what I'm saying? Like, how come I never get nothing like that?
You never did an auction?
No, never.
Yeah. The auction is fun.
That's what I want.
Now, I had in Survivor of the Amazon, we had a challenge that was like this also for individual immunity. But the one that they did last night was worse than what we had to do. Ours was not nearly as bad, except for the last thing. The last thing that they had to eat on mine was pretty bad. And what I did was I felt like I didn't need the individual immunity, so I didn't really try that hard to win because I knew I wasn't getting voted out. So all I wanted to do was just try to outlast Jenna and Heidi. I wanted to do better than them in the challenge because I didn't want people to make fun of me when I go home.
And they still make fun of you when you
They
home,
still made
they?
Fun of me,
People
but just not
mean,
for that.
Right? They're horrible.
Yeah.
They're horrible.
What did you think of what Eddie had said, was that he didn't want to participate in the gross food challenge because if he ate something gross, then maybe some girl that he was going to hook up with was going to say, hey, weren't you the guy that ate that cow's thing or ate that pig's brain? And maybe he might not be as popular with the ladies.
You know what? For some reason, I think he's out there for he's out there for different reasons. I think he's out there trying to be like a movie star, or I don't know what he thinks is going to come out of Survivor when he's finished. But everything to me seems like he's always worrying about the wrong stuff, about being with the cool kids and we're a nice, cute couple, and it's just I don't know. He's very, what's that word I'm looking for? Give it to me. Give it
superficial.
To me, No, yeah, that, but something else. There's another word for it. Like, you're so,
narcissistic.
No. Give me another one.
self-absorbed.
No, a common one, but it means all of that. Come on. We don't have anybody calling in and telling us what he is.
This is like the $25,000 pyramid.
When you tell somebody, you're so, what's the word I'm looking for? Just one word.
Let's see.
You're going to have to be like, what's the word Sandra was looking for?
Give me another hint.
When somebody, is, not materialistic, but when they're so into themselves.
Shallow.
That they're so, no. No. It'll come to me.
Okay.
It will come to me. I'll text you when I remember.
Yeah, he's been talking about who's the best looking people here. Yeah, I'm in the cool kids.
I wish he would just play the game and just not worry about, you know, how he looks on TV. I mean, like, he says the stupidest things. I want to know who the fuck casted this.
Maybe.
You know, where'd they find this clown at?
Well, I guess they felt like he was so handsome.
Hey, what's up with Brenda? Everybody keeps saying that she's invisible out there. She's not even out there.
Now, do you want to defend Brenda or you want to attack Brenda because she is invisible?
No, I want to defend her. I mean, she went buck wild the first time that she played. You know, she was always talking a lot of mess and, you know, she was running the show, you know. Between her and Sash, you know, we didn't know who was running the show. And then Albert thought he was running the show, but Sophie was really running the show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in their own little world, they all thought they were running the show. But, you know, now, this season, it's like she's not even saying too much of anything.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is this big 360 that she did?
Yeah, well, Sandra, you said you were going to defend her. What is she doing?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I wish we would hear more of her. I'm sure she's been doing her interviews because everybody has to do interviews. But I guess what she has to say really doesn't have any impact on the game to where we're not seeing anything from Brenda.
Yeah, well, you could really make out last night that her knee is really banged up. She's got, like, this bandage on. And you saw, mm-hmm. like, when that boat came, she's really limping. So she's hurt pretty bad. And so I don't know what her plan is, though. You never hear from her what she's doing. I guess maybe she feels like, okay, I'm just going to lay back and let all of these other big personalities take each other out. But it mm-hmm. doesn't seem like she's doing much of anything.
Well, maybe the injury is good because they'll be like, okay, now that it's every man for himself, they're not going to worry too much about her and her bum leg. I mean, but she's been having this limp since, like, what, two weeks ago. I noticed it somebody said when she was cheering up and down, she was still limping. But when she did that water challenge that she was running out there, she was limping. But, hey, she still managed to pull that out. They still did that challenge, and she doesn't care. She just goes for the gold. So, I mean, but shit, I wish we would hear more of what she's thinking and what her plan is and what game she's playing.
Now, the other person who's been very quiet is
Eric.
Ice Cream Scooper
he's
Eric.
Quiet anyway. He really is a quiet person anyway. So I didn't expect big things from him.
Now, have you met him before? Do you like Eric?
Yeah, I like Eric. I've been out there with him on several events for years now. But he's always a quiet person. But it doesn't fail for people to always, no matter what event we go to, someone always has to start talking about, you know, how the girls did him in and how he gave them, you know, the immunity necklace and how they got him and all that stuff. And he just gets up and walks away because he's tired of it. He's over it. He's done with it. And it just never fails for people to point out that one move.
Yeah, he does. He gets beat up about that all the time. And now I talked to Corinne this morning. Now, Corinne says, Eric says to her and tells everybody, hey, don't tell me what's going on. I don't want to know what's going on. 10 minutes before we go to tribal council, just tell me what to do. And I feel like because he didn't play like this the first time, I don't think. Is Eric like, look, if I don't try at the strategic part of the game, then nobody can say I did a bad job?
Well, see, now that you say it like that, I didn't realize that's what was going on. I mean, that really can't hurt him when people say, well, he'll just do what I say. You know, people want to have people that they can just tell what to do and then be done with it, where there's no questions asked. You know, there's no debate back and forth about what's going to happen and who's going to benefit. So in essence, like, he's the perfect person to be aligned with, because he'll just do what the hell I say and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he would step it up, though. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, but I can understand how he doesn't want to get wrapped up in what happened last time. He doesn't want to repeat the same mistakes. So he probably doesn't want to think too hard. That's all.
Yeah, I just feel like he's saying, hey, if I didn't try, then you can't say I did bad. It's like, I could have played with strategy if I wanted to, but I wasn't even playing that game. I was just out there trying to make friends and win challenges, mm-hmm. and be like a Fabio. You can't even say I suck at strategy, because I wasn't even playing strategy.
Yeah, especially with so many big personalities, people that are out there strategizing before they even get on the beach, you know. Maybe that's what they want, somebody that's submissive, and you just got to tell them what to do, and that's it. So, I mean, he's perfect. That's probably one of those, he's probably more like me than Don, because, you know, in the Pearl Islands, I was like, as long as it ain't me, you know, but of course I voiced my opinion, but as long as it wasn't me, I didn't give a shit who went home.
Yeah, but
and
I know you said
that's what he's doing. As long as it ain't him, you tell me what to do and we're all good.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a difference, though, because I feel like you say, okay, anybody but me, but you certainly have feelings about who goes home. And I feel like he's more like hands up in the air, like, yeah, well, I don't care, whatever. Don't even tell me what's going on. And I can't ever imagine you saying to somebody, hey, just tell me what to do. You don't have to tell me what's going on. I don't even want to know. Just tell me.
I want to know everything.
Yeah, yeah. So
I know stuff from people's body language. Like, you don't have to tell me. I already figured this crap out.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about Malcolm. And first off, we didn't talk to you during Survivor Philippines, which was a terrible mistake. And I'm very upset with myself for that. But we didn't talk to you during Survivor Philippines. And so we don't know, what is your thoughts on Malcolm? You like Malcolm?
I like him. I really did. I wish he would have whooped Denise. You know, I mean, you know, I give it to her for winning. But, yeah, Malcolm, I was
wait,
like,
hold on, hold on. Let's
is-
back up. Hold on. We'll back the podcast up for a minute here. So I know you were upset with Sophie when she first won. And I don't know if you invited Sophie into the winner's email club at first. Have you given Denise?
Oh, no, I have congratulated her.
Since then, yes.
She had made a comment about my crown, that I was only the queen because I bought my own crown, and I didn't buy the crown, you know. So that was, I was like, what the fuck is this bitch talking about?
Yeah,
you
but
know,
that's
like,
that's water under the bridge now. We don't need to
that. Water under the bridge.
But has Denise given the queen her proper due?
No, happened with Denise was that someone said something to the effect that she said that she wasn't going to be one of those coattail winners, you know, that she was going to be, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, that she was just going to be one of those winners that made sure that she won because she deserved to win, like, you know, that she was one of those female winners that deserved to win because of how she played her game. So in other words, you're saying that there's other female winners that didn't deserve to win. So who the fuck are you talking about? Like, who, you know?
See, I think I interpret
what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't know the exact quote you're talking about, but I interpreted what she was saying, that she didn't want to take somebody like Abby Maria to the end and only win the game because she was up against somebody so disagreeable. I didn't think that she was, at least from what she said on the show, that's what I thought she was saying. But I don't know if this was in a separate interview, but we won't tolerate any slights of you, Sandra.
Yeah, because I bust my ass playing that damn game, and I starved.
Twice.
Two times, yeah. But like I always say, people, you know, they want to criticize my game. You know, some people give me props and some people don't, just like everybody doesn't love strawberries. I understand everybody doesn't love Sandra's game. But at the end of the day, I feel like my game is so simple that people make it more complicated than it is, and it's not that hard. And for me, Survivor is not that hard. I feel like it's something natural for me, you know? So no matter who wins at the end of the day, hey, congratulations. I'm happy for you. It's when they start talking shit that I get stupid, you know?
See, but I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit, because when you say that your game is simple, that makes it sound like, oh, anybody could just go on Survivor and play like you. But I think that there's a lot of things about you. And I recently rewatched the Pearl Islands, because what I haven't ever talked about this before. But one of the things I'd like to do is I'm working on a book where I want to go back and look at some of the greatest moves and strategies that have been ever played on Survivor. And I went back and I watched the Survivor Pearl Islands, and I think you do a lot of stuff that people don't realize, it's not just anybody but me, but you are always, you know, a lot about what's going on. And I don't think anybody has ever been an eavesdropper like you have. And I think that's in the Pearl Islands, when you literally sneak up on Burton and Fairplay when they're talking, and you have,
you know what, they were so arrogant. They go and they talk, and you know how Fairplay is. He's really loud. He wants to always laugh. He wants to be the you know, the comedian in the group, and it's his arrogance. And he was just talking so damn loud.
Yeah.
And so I just had to tell Tawana, like, I want you to hear from the horse's mouth. You know, they're coming after you. And that's essentially what she heard, you know. So I'm glad that I did that. But I don't have to sneak up on you to, you know, I didn't only just sneak up on them. I snuck up on Krista, too, when she was saying, you know, don't you like me more than Sandra? And that episode was called A2 Brute. And I always remember that, because I said to her while I was braiding her breezy hair, I was like, Krista, if I was Caesar, are you my Brutus? And she was like, no, what are you talking about? And I left it alone. And then when it finally aired on TV, you know, she realized that I knew that she was trying to tell them to come after me. And that's when she went home over the fish.
Yeah. And well, I want to talk about the fish in a minute. But you know what game works for you. And the game that works for you works for you, and you know how to play that game. And the game that
and
works...
And I pay attention.
Yeah.
Look, let me tell you something. I would not... Okay, like Shamar, he left because he had the grain of sand in his eye. But I, as a player, would not spend so much time sleeping under the shelter. I'm not going to be under the shelter for 1 minute by myself and everybody else is over there plotting against me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's always, like, all these things you shouldn't do on Survivor. And if you're the only one in the shelter, there's a problem. Because guess what? Someone is conspiring against you, and you better get your ass up and you better go figure it out. You know, like, there's things that you just don't do. And for me, I always try to pay attention to what's going on, who's taking off with who. It could be the simplest thing as let's go get water, let's go get tree mail. But things get said, discussions are had, and you need to be on top of your game.
Yeah. And you know what works for you, and what works for you is what works for you, and what works for Parvati works for Parvati, and what works for Boston Rob works for Boston Rob, and anybody just can't just walk up and say, I'm going to play like Sandra and expect to win if they're not a Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well said. That's true.
Yeah. And I think that here's what I think people get hung up on. There's no one correct ultimate way to win the game. There's lots of different ways to win the game. That's why we have so many different winners. And I think what you do is very effective. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you won the game twice.
Thank you. I appreciate
yes.
that.
Well, you know, a lot of people get very caught up on every time we have you on the podcast. Then I get like 100 comments. People come on and say, "Oh, Sandra's the best."
She should have never won.
You got some people who are gonna write, "Sandra's the best. How dare anybody say she's not the best?" And then somebody else says, "No, she's not the best. This is the, you
she
know,
can't even win a challenge.
She didn't win a challenge." But you know what? Then but there's a balance to everything, because then if you are winning all the challenges, then people are saying, "Oh, we got to vote out Sandra. She's winning too many challenges." So
that's right.
You know, there's two sides to everything on Survivor, and you know,
and look, Malcolm said it best when he was saying, listen, once the merge happens, they're going to come after us because we're the strong guys. And it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Yeah.
They're the ones that we expect to win the challenges. Therefore, like, hey, now it's every man for himself. So everybody's strong. Any, meeny, miny, moe, you got to go.
Yeah, that's right. So tell me about Malcolm. Do you think that Malcolm's goose is cooked now after what happened last night?
No, because there's no way that the people that voted to send out Corinne are going to always stick together. You know, like, that's going to fall apart. And people are starting to get, you know, Philip is wearing them down. You know, there's only but so much Philip you can take. Malcolm is still in a good position because he can still be with the favorites. You know, he just had a slip up, you know. He can still put the fans in danger and still save himself a couple of weeks. And then if he wins a couple of immunities, you know, it all depends on what happens every third day, you know, how your luck changes. So I don't think that he's in a bad spot. I think he's okay.
Can Malcolm go back to the favorites and say, oh, my God, Corinne made me do it. This was such a terrible idea, guys. I'm very sorry that I don't know what I was thinking. I'm new here. I just played. Corinne told me this was what everybody was doing.
Yeah, he could easily blame her and say, "Listen, I was told that you guys were plotting against me. I panicked, so I went with what she told me." You know, they won't know, and they could possibly think, "Yeah, it could be true." I mean, here she is talking about Philip. Why not? You know. She could have brainwashed somebody to think, and that happens. People lie to you and tell you things that aren't true, and then you go bananas out there, and then you realize after you watch the show that it wasn't what you thought it was, or yes, it was what you were being warned about, but you didn't take proper, you know, the proper steps to preserve your game. So there's no telling, but he could flip it and say, hey, Corinne told me this, 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 and that, and, you know, I fell into her trap, and that's it. And he'd be forgiven. At the end of the day, they still want the fans out first.
Yeah, and do you think that's the right idea? Let's role play. I don't want to pretend that we're Boston Rob and we're going to bed. Let's pretend. Okay, I want you to be Dawn, and I'm going to be Cochran. Okay, and so let's talk about the game. All the pieces are exactly where they are now. What's our next move here after what just happened last night? What do you want to do, Dawn?
We're going to get rid of Reynolds. Then we're going to go after the other one. What's the other one's name? Eddie?
We're going to take out Eddie and Reynolds? Okay.
Yeah. And since it's me and Dawn is pretty strong, but I'm Dawn. You're Cochran.
I'm Cochran.
Yeah, but you know what? Me, Dawn, would take out Cochran before Cochran comes after me, Dawn, and fucks up my game again. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so we're turning. We're going to turn on each other?
You might not turn on me, but I need to pay you back for what you did to me. You got to pay the price for that. It's not going to happen.
See,
Dawn
isn't this vindictive. You're not being a very good Dawn.
I don't care. Look, I have to remember what happened, and you set me up for failure, and because of you, the $1 million was gone, you know, like just in the blink of an eye, so you need to pay for what you did.
Sandra,
you might not remember, but I do.
You got to worry about this.
Right now, listen, Cochran, for right now, you're going to stay in the game. Everything's cool. But we're going to take out these strong guys. And me, Dawn, I'm stronger than Cochran, so I'm not going to worry about you just yet. But your day is coming.
But what if there's a gross food challenge? I'm stronger than you at that.
Yeah, but they only have one. That's already been done. It won't happen again. You can forget that.
Sandra,
Cochran.
Yeah, Dawn. But Dawn, you got to worry about this $1 million that we're playing for now. Forget about that other $1 million. I didn't get
and
it either. Sophie got it.
Worrying about this $1 million, you're going to have to go home real soon.
But Dawn, wouldn't you have, if you won instead of Sophie, wouldn't you have said that Sandra didn't buy her crown?
Well, I mean, all right. Now I don't know what to answer, but I mean, all right. Me, Dawn, to you, Cochran. We're gonna get rid of all these strong guys, and then we're gonna get rid of Philip because he's driving me, Dawn, / Sandra crazy. Because Dawn obviously doesn't mind. Who sleeps next to Philip in the shelter? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Who sleeps next to him?
I don't know.
You know that's the telltale sign.
Yeah, that's one of the BR rules. That's what Boston Rob said that.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to know who he sleeps next to. But anyway,
all right.
But yeah, me, Dawn, yeah, we're going to get rid of these fans. I like Sherry, though, so, you know, her day's coming, but for now. And Michael is okay, too, so we get rid of the alpha male first and then go from there, you know?
Yeah, so Now, okay, let's go back to being Rob and Sandra. So for these favorites, though, do they get rid of Eddie and Reynolds first, or do they get rid of Malcolm first, who seems to be the brains behind this operation? I know they thought they were cutting off the head of the snake last week, but you got to know Malcolm knows much more.
They don't know that Malcolm is the brains behind the operation. All the signs seem to point to Corinne, and because Malcolm and Corinne had established a relationship before the merge, that's how that all, you know, went together. Mm-hmm. That's that piece of the puzzle. So, you know, he can only say, look, you know, me and Corinne were cool before. You know, I trusted her. You know, I believed what she told me to be true, and that's why I voted the way I did. I apologize. You know what? No one should take offense to it but Sherry, because it's not like he voted against Philip, so he didn't do anything against Philip.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if Philip went to him and said to him, hey, you need to vote this way or that way. If he went against what Philip did, I mean, told him to do, then that's a different story, you know?
Yeah. And now these favorites,
but we don't really know.
They're not really out of the woods yet either, because they may want to pick off Malcolm and Eddie and Reynolds next, but what they may or may not know is that there are two idols between these three guys. And so they can split the votes all they want, but we could see a, like what Parvati did in Heroes versus Villains, where we have two idols played in the same tribal council, and one of the favorites could end up going home after that.
Yeah, but that's you know, you're thinking in the future, but you got to remember, they got to feel like they're in jeopardy to play their idols. If they think everything's okay, they could slip up, not realizing what's going on, and not play the idols and go home. But all they have to do is pay attention to that tribal council. If you think you're in danger, play it, even if you didn't have to.
Well, Malcolm and Eddie and Reynolds, they got to know they're in danger here, because whatever the plan, I mean, what are they going to tell Malcolm and Eddie and Reynolds? They're going to get rid of Mike or Sherry next? They got to know that one of those three guys is the next on the chopping block.
Yeah, but not Malcolm, because you don't know what his relationship is with Don. You don't know what his relationship is with Andrew. You don't know what his relationship is with Cochran or with Eric or with Brenda. So Malcolm is still sitting pretty. We don't, you know, yeah, maybe he offended Philip, if even that, you know, but we don't know.
Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't talked at all about Andrea. What's your take on Andrea? You think she's playing a good job this season?
She just does whatever Philip tells her to do, just like she did whatever Boston Rob told her to do.
See, I give her more credit than that. I think she's come and she really wants to play hard this season. And it seems like she really wants to prove to people that that's not what's going on.
How did she convince you to come up with that theory?
Well, I just look at her face when they're talking about like a plan or a blind side, and her eyes light up like she's really into it, I think. And I don't think she seems like, okay, whatever you say, Philip. I think she's sort of like, you know, she was the one that came up with the plan originally to get rid of Corinne. I think that I feel like her wheels are really turning fast in this game.
She was only targeting Corinne because every time she turned around, Corinne was having a private conversation, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
So she had trust issues with Corinne. But when Andrea played with Boston Rob, he always told her what to do. You know, those people always told her what to do. And then she got off the show and maybe people said, hey, you know, you just went out there and you just did whatever the hell they told you to do. You weren't even thinking for yourself. To where now all of a sudden she wants to go ahead and think for herself, which I don't blame her for that, you know. But I still feel like at the end of the day, she still does what Philip tells her to do. When they turn on Philip, then I'm going to tell you that they're playing their own
game. Okay. That's fair. And I do think that's what happened. I think she came off the show and people said, oh, why did you let Boston Rob do this? Why did you let Boston Rob do that? You know, not
people get hurt by the criticisms that they receive from other people. They really do.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't know anything about this because you don't come off the show and have everybody tell you that you did a bad job because you didn't win.
No,
but
people do hate me.
Yeah, that's
hate
true.
That
that's
I
true.
Won.
You do.
You know,
you get criticism and you won. Imagine what would happen if you didn't have $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, just
it hurts,
like,
Sandra.
Yeah, I know, and I don't know what that feels like, but yeah, you know.
All right, so let's go back in time a couple of weeks here, because I really want to know what your thoughts were on this whole Brandon Hance meltdown and what you thought about this and this whole episode?
You know what? I met Brandon down in Florida, and he was a cool cat. You know, he's totally the opposite of, you know, his relative, whose name I will not mention. But I've been in that position where I'm like, fuck this. If I'm going home, they're not going to eat shit. I'm going to sabotage this tribe. You know, like, I've had those feelings of anger.
Yeah.
Where people think that they could just tell you whatever they want, and you just got to swallow it. Like, no. Like I always say, if I don't like it, I'm not going
to
eat it.
Well, let's go back to when you were in this very position. So Rupert gets voted out in Survivor Pearl Islands, and I guess Rupert had caught a bunch of fish, and you take a bucket of fish, and you go off to go. What are you going to do? Throw them back in the ocean? But remember, when
we left tribal council and we were on that boat and everybody was laughing and giving high fives that they got rid of Rupert, they were saying these exact words to me and Krista, you bitches are next, just like that. So I was like, fuck it. If I'm going home in the next 3 days, I'll starve. Then they start discussing about, you know, yeah, Rupert would always eat the big fish. Well, yeah, Rupert would spend hours out there catching all the fish. So why not? He deserves to eat the big fish, you know? If you want to eat the big fish, you take your ass out there in the ocean for a couple of hours and you catch your own fish and you decide which one you want to eat. So it was a lot of stuff being said on this boat ride back home. And I'm thinking like, okay, I got you, because guess what? Ain't nobody eating shit tonight.
So
you know, and that's exactly what happened.
So you went and grabbed the bucket of fish. And then what happened? You tripped.
I started to go into the woods, and I tripped on the vines or whatever the hell was there. And they just fell, and I could hear them coming up making noise. And I panicked. I grabbed the bucket. I put everything back the way it was. And it was perfect that Krista had gone to put down her canteen. This I remember like it was yesterday, okay? And Krista went to put down her canteen because she was crying, because she was really hurt about them saying, you know, you bitches are next. Like, our game is screwed now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she came back, and next thing you know, I'm fighting you, motherfucker, John. You're a snake. Lady, he can't be trusted, all that stuff. And to where it saved me. Me arguing with John saved me, because they were like, Krista, you were possibly the only one that could do it.
Yeah, but you know? Here's the difference between what you did and what Brandon did, was that what you did was, you know, spite and say, hey, look, you guys vote out Rupert, now you're not going to do this. And then when they thought somebody else did it, you you threw Krista under the bus, whereas
No, I didn't throw her under the bus. I just didn't defend her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't say nothing. You know, like, what kind of player would I be if I fessed up to that? Are you crazy? But let me tell you, I've been in a similar situation to Brandon, because there was a time on the Pearl Islands, too, where I was like, I'm hiding the spear, I'm hiding the machete, I'm hiding the net, they're not going to eat shit, they're going to remember me. I even tried to light the mattress on fire, the shelter. I wanted to burn the damn shelter down, but because it was wet and moist underneath and it was growing mold, that joker wouldn't light. And thank the Lord, because I didn't end up going home. And I was thinking, okay, when I go to tribal council, after I just finished burning down the shelter, I'm going to tell them, if you want to punish me and if you want to make me suffer, you should keep me in the game and let me sleep out there and with the sand fleas on the beach, you know, like as my punishment, you know?
Okay.
Like I was ready for it. But I have, you know, did things thinking, I'm going to go home, I'm going to sabotage everybody, and then, you know, I didn't go home, and thank God it didn't. That was the Lord looking out for me, like, no, we're not going to light this mattress on fire, because you're going to need it tonight, because you will come back to camp.
So you're on the same page as Brandon, that if you're going to get voted out, then you should go crazy and destroy everything?
If I was out there, no, because that's my rights too. But if I'm not out there, hell yeah, I'd go balls to the wall, you know, because they're not taking up for you. But you know what? His argument with Philip was only over him being mid-management. What was that argument about?
I think it was about something silly. I think what happened was, and they had the reward challenge, and then everybody threw their coconuts into Brandon's thing, And then Philip was holding on to his, nobody threw the coconuts in Philip's thing. And then they won, and Phil, and Jeff was like, Philip wins a reward.
Yeah, Philip always takes credit. He's always there at the end. Yeah.
So that annoyed him. And then he, I think Philip says he's the only one that could knows how to do the fire right, and that annoyed him. And so just a bunch of little things.
That's silly stuff. Like, if he wants to let him get on his high horse. You know, we'll knock him out later. You know, we'll trip him up in a minute. You know, but. Shit, let him look at that challenge where they went around in circles. He should have just gave Corinne his bag and moved the hell out of the way because he was just dead weight.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. We've talked about so many different things. Let's jump into some of these questions that I have for you from our from the listeners on our Facebook fan page. Lots of questions came in from Sandra. Of course, if you want to submit questions for our Survivor guests, you can. Like our Facebook fan page, go to facebook.com/Rob Has a Podcast. All right, so let's start with Josh Young, and he wants to know, would Sandra have aligned with Corinne if she was on Heroes versus Villains? Now, I feel like as a player, one of the more similar players, if you're going to compare to Corinne, I'd probably say would be Courtney. Would you say, is that fair? And would you align with Corinne the same way you aligned with Courtney?
Yeah, because Corinne has a lot of sass, and I like that. She speaks her mind. You know, she tells it like it is. I'm like that, too. Courtney, you know, I love her. And, you know, I feel like I like Corinne. I've met Corinne. We've hung out together. I have nothing but wonderful things to say about her. And if I had been out there, like I said, I've already met her and I've already hung out with her, so me and her would have clicked from the get-go. You know, we would have been inseparable.
Okay.
We would have been an alliance. We sure would have.
And yep. That would have been a fun alliance. That would have been very good.
No doubt.
Okay. So how about, I'm going to make this question a little harder. Now, don't say Corinne, but Mark Solera wants to know, who gets a sassy graph from this season?
Who would get a sassy graph from this season? Would I give an autograph to?
And what would you write on it?
Cochran.
Okay, and what would you write to Cochran?
I love Cochran.
Whoa.
I would write cock on the top and red on the bottom like I did on my shirt. And that's when you were trying to be funny that I love Cochran. And that was from, what was it, our TV Zone?
Yeah.
And I wrote, I love Cochran, and it just didn't fit. So I wrote, I love cock, and then Rand was on the bottom, but they cut it off.
That's like a Sean Connery Celebrity Jeopardy answer.
Cochran would get my sassy graph.
All right. Here, a lot of questions about this subject that I want us to talk about with you. Jeff McGinnis wants to know, any thoughts on Francesca, the anti-Sandra? Now, we talked about this a lot when it happened, that there are basically these two bookends in Survivor history. All the way on one side is you, Sandra, the woman who won the game, played the game twice and won the game twice. But now, all the way on the other end of the spectrum, we have Francesca, the woman who played the game twice and got voted out first twice. So what was your take on Francesca? Is she the anti-you?
You know what? Her mistake, I don't know if she's the anti-Sandra, but her mistake, and I did give her a lot of flack for it too, but her mistake was going after Philip when Philip wasn't even worrying about her. Mm-hmm. And he said it. He said, you know, whatever happened then, bygones be bygones, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, he doesn't have time for it. She annoyed me. I don't know why she didn't get a sense that she was annoying him and stepping on his feet. If he don't like you, he's going to get you out of there because he doesn't want to spend 39 days with you. But her game was too premature. She went after him too early when he wasn't even worrying about her. She was playing too hard, too fast. That's all. That's all that she did wrong. She'll never play again. You can believe that.
All right. So, Sandra, but if you say that you played twice and you won twice, and that would make you the best player, correct? Are you following me so far?
Yeah, I'm following you so far.
So if Francesca has played twice and been the first off twice, does that make her, is she the worst player in your opinion?
No, there's people that have made worse moves. You know what I'm saying? Like, but her move, you know, you would think that somebody coming back in the game would have learned something. You know, that's my issue with her game, that she's played Survivor, and then to come back and make such a silly mistake by going after Philip. I mean, that's what messes her up. But I think there's worse players out there. I think there's people that have done really some stupid crap.
Who's worse?
I can't think of it. Let me see. Jeez, who's done something stupid that's a bad player? Well, you know what? A lot of the people that always get voted off at the beginning, we never even remember who the hell they are.
That's how bad they are.
Yeah, so it's hard for me to, but I don't think she's the worst player. There's even people that have played all the way to the middle and still had a bad, you know, like they sucked at just because they made a mistake. But I can't necessarily say just because she's been voted out twice in a row that she's the worst player ever. I don't think that's necessarily true.
Yeah. Also, there are people who are also really bad, but they just happen to be on a tribe that doesn't lose the first couple of challenges and they last
like
longer into the game. No.
Yeah, that's what you're getting at.
No, I'm saying...
You know what? That's where luck comes in.
Yeah.
That is luck, that I've always been on these strong tribes. You know what I'm saying? We were strong in the Pearl Islands. We were Drakes. We were strong. And then on Heroes versus Villains, the villains, we were strong.
Yeah.
And that's all you need. You need a little bit of luck, enough time to build relationships with these people to where they can't be without you. And people can be without Sassy.
Yeah, you got to be lucky. You got to be lucky and you got to be good. That's the part.
And you got to be a pleasure to be around. You can't just be a filler for 39 days and think, well, you know, Boston Rob can deal with it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you just can't be so annoying that people don't want you around. Like Shamar, like, he just went out there and he was just like, I'm just going to lay under here and you're just going to bring me food. Like, what? Get the fuck out of here. Get your fat ass up and get to step and do something.
All right, Jeff.
I don't think, well, go ahead.
Jeff Pittman wants to know, is Sandra willing to include Francesca in the two-time first club for first place and first boot? Would you be, are you and Francesca, like, could you guys take a picture together and be some sort of a, you know, bookend first time or first place club?
I don't think she'd be interested in that.
Oh.
I think she and Francesca more or less would want to forget this, you know? And here we are, what, episode 6, episode 7, still
eight,
talking about
eight.
Episode 8, geez. And she still manages to come up.
Yeah. All right, James.
I think her move is worse than Eric's ice cream scooper giving away immunity. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could live that down now because, you know, Francesca's got him.
Well, you don't know how his game is going to end. He might give the immunity necklace away again and get voted out in the same way.
No, he'll never do that again. No. After all the flack he's received and he doesn't appreciate it, no.
I just saw an interview he did in the Secret Scenes, and he said, hey, if I give the immunity necklace away again this season, I'm going to eat a rock.
No, that was Francesca. That's
no, I think Eric. I think Eric just said it, too.
Oh, what is it with these people eating rocks?
I don't know. All right, so James Foster wants to know, what does Sandra think of a Francesca versus Sandra season being the only two-time same places at polar opposites of the spectrum? Would you come back for a Francesca versus Sandra season?
No.
No?
No. Bring me somebody that really knows the game. Make it exciting for
You're
the
picky?
Fans. Bring them back to Survivor.
Okay. What if then it was Francesca versus Sandra, but the twist is this time they put Philip on your tribe?
I don't want to play with Philip. I can only deal with Philip like at charity events for a couple of minutes at a time. You know what I'm saying? But I can't be out there with Philip for 39 days. No way.
See, I watched an interview where Cochran was on. He was on the Secret Scenes on. They had one on Entertainment Weekly. And he talked about how his talent is that Philip gets on everybody else's nerves, and he can tolerate Philip. But I think I'd be the same way. I don't think that Philip would bother me the way that he's bothering some of these other people.
Yeah, you know what? I'm talking shit, though. I mean, from somebody from me watching from my living room, Philip gets on my nerves. But if I was out there, too, I probably could tolerate him. I could take a whole lot, you know, and it would depend on my game, too. Do I really need to take him out, or is just, you know, let him continue to, you know, get on everybody else's nerves to where they want him out, and it's not going to have nothing to do with me. And I'm going to be like, Philip, no, I tried to save you. I wanted you to stay.
Right? Do you think that, I thought of this the other day, that they've shown so much Philip this season, and you talk to a lot of Survivor fans, they're like, oh, this season with so much Philip is getting on my nerves. Is this almost like a brilliant way of the editors? Have they put us in the position that we can identify with Corinne? Like, we really know what it's like to be out there because we see so much Philip that even the viewers at home, a lot of them are saying, all right, enough with Philip already. And now we have like a real perspective of what it's like to be out there with Philip.
Yeah, we kind of feel bad for Corinne that she got shed, you know, the short end of the stick with all this that happened. You know, we wish that Philip would have been the one to go home. Regardless of what Corinne did her first season, you know, when she was going after Sugar. But, you know, yeah, I feel like, wow, Philip is just over the top. He needs to go home. Why aren't they sending him home? Like, you want to yell at your TV, like, what are you guys doing? You know, but everyone's doing what they need to do for their game.
You know, give Philip some credit, though. You know, he's sitting there. He doesn't have an immunity idol. He doesn't have, you know, any immunity necklace or anything. You know, anybody could come and vote him out anytime they want, and nobody's been able to do it in two seasons so far.
Yeah, but now that he's been put on the spot, though, like, it's out there already. He's going to start panicking because Corinne already planted the seed about getting rid of Philip, you know, and there was a couple of people that were interested in that. So he's going to get scared. Well, maybe not necessarily scared because he has the numbers, but he's going to have to go ahead and do his BR, whatever, and, you know, make sure that he gets a hold of what's going on so that they don't come after him, but they're going to come after him eventually.
Okay, so all right, speaking of Philip, Brian Whitehead has a question for you. He wants to know, rate these three people by how much you would want to spend 39 days with them. Okay, are you ready?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Philip, Fairplay, or Russell? All right, which?
Oh, my God.
You have to rank them 1, 2, 3. Who would you most want to spend 39 days with?
Philip
is one. Okay.
Johnny Fairplay in the middle, and Russell the least amount of time possible.
I think this would be a very fun tribe to watch because these three people, the triangle of Fairplay, Russell, and Philip, they actually all don't like one another. So this would be a very compelling tribe because I follow all three of these guys on Twitter, and these three are always fighting with each other.
Really? I didn't know that. I don't do Twitter, so and I ain't got time for all that. But so what's happening with those three?
Oh,
because everybody wants to talk shit about the other person, hoping that they'll get on another Survivor and go up against them. That's all that is. That's a ploy to get on Survivor. That's, you know, so what are they saying about each other?
Well,
I want to know
I
now
think
out
that
of curiosity.
It really, over the last couple of weeks, it started. They had like this contest to see who's the biggest reality TV villain, and they had a vote.
Oh yeah, did Evil Dick win that?
I think he did, but Fairplay and Russell were both nominated for that, and basically at one point recently, Philip was pro Russell, and Philip was telling people to vote for Russell, and that Johnny Fairplay sucked. He was a child compared to Russell. Now, you played with both of them. Do you agree with that? Is Fairplay only a child compared to Russell's villainous?
Yeah.
Oh,
Fairplay
no.
Fairplay has a childish mentality.
I would say that Russell maybe comes from a more mean-spirited place.
He says that I'm mean for burning his stupid, funky hat.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah.
Fairplay.
So then,
Fair play is, you know, I think is, you know, more of a prankster than Russell's not pulling pranks on anybody. Russell's coming from a very serious place.
And not only that, Fair Play can give you a verbal beating too, and you won't even understand what he said, and he'll cut you to bits, and you'll be like, "What the fuck did he just say? Is that an insult?" Well, so then what happened? So that Fair Play got upset about
it? Yeah, so long story short, then I think Fair Play started, like, going after Philip on Twitter and basically said that, like, you know, you're crazy and you're an idiot. And then Philip blocked him on Twitter. And then Russell and Philip over the last couple of weeks have gotten into a very big Twitter feud over after the Brandon Hance thing, that Russell was on Brandon's side and he was going after Philip, and Philip was saying, or Philip was like writing about how the ratings were up on Survivor, and Russell says it was only because of Brandon that it did, and Philip said, I actually think it was because there's a lot of talented people that work on Survivor. And basically Russell went into, you only got to the end because Boston Rob carried you. And Russell is writing, I'm going to fight you at the finale. So it's really gotten very testy with Russell and Philip on Twitter.
That's not going to happen. They're going to keep those two apart.
I don't know, but wouldn't that be a good tribe of you, Russell, Fair Play, and Philip?
No, because first of all, Fair Play quit, so he doesn't deserve to come back and play again.
All right, here's the tribe. It's you, Russell, Philip, Fair Play, and Francesca. Who gets voted out first?
Russell.
Oh, not even Francesca. And Russell and Francesca are friends. And still Russell. Who votes for Russell?
Russell,
you Fair
Russell
Play and
first,
Philip vote
Fair
for...
Play second, and then we'll get rid of Philip, and then Francesca will be last. Me and her will be final too.
Oh, man, this would be the best season.
No, but you're giving me people that you know ain't going to be out there. Like, come on now. Russell, how many times has he played already?
What, Boston Rob played four times. I think Russell's going to play. I think Russell will play again before this is all said and done.
The problem with Russell is that he thinks that without him, Survivor is nothing. Like, you know, like, I don't know where he gets this from.
Yeah. Well,
like,
I think,
if you ain't Russ, you know, but you think he's going to play again?
I think he's going to play again.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't
need to bring you back. I want you to play again.
Well, we'll see. Maybe one day, Francesca. Then who's going to do the podcast if I go back?
Nicole.
No, please, Sandra. Come on, Nicole can't do a podcast.
She's been watching you for years. She can handle it. I'm sure she can substitute.
This podcast would go to hell in a handbasket if Nicole was.
Oh my God. You ain't getting nothing tonight. You're going to be a damn dog.
We'll let Nicole go play Survivor. I'll stay home and do the podcast.
All right. I bet she knows a lot. She's learned a lot too.
Okay. So now the tribe is you, Russell, Philip, Fair Play, Francesca, and Nicole. Yeah, we'll
Russell still goes home first. And now Nicole stays with me in the final two.
All right. She'll go to the, as a women's alliance, go to the end. Okay. So, mm-hmm. How about this question? Eric Yuxelainen wants to know, what would the SDT rules be, the Sandra Diaz Twine rules for winning a season, and how do they compare to the BR rules? Have you ever thought about what? So, we have to start with number one is anybody but me.
Yeah, as long as it ain't me.
As long as it ain't me. What's number two?
Number two, as far as with the BR rules or still my rules?
No, SDT rules.
SDT rules, what's rule number two?
Yeah.
Shit, I don't know. Man, but if I put all my business out, how am I going to win again?
That's true. That's true. So you think Boston Rob is annoyed that Philip is blowing up his spot, telling everybody the BR rules?
Oh, no, he's eating it up. His head is probably too big.
Do you think Boston Rob will play Survivor again, or you think he's retired?
He would probably play again. He loves the game. At the end of the day, me and Boston Rob know that we wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for Survivor.
Yeah. I don't know about Rob. I really don't know if he would do it again or not, because For him, I mean, he went four times. He won on the fourth time. And where else is there to go for Ross and Rob?
I don't know. They wouldn't let him win again. Not when you're on a pedestal that high, people want to knock you down and teach you a lesson.
Nobody's going to let him get close to the end again, I don't think.
What about me? You think I could ever possibly get close to the end again?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Think, because I think that I think that it works to your advantage that a lot of people think that you are underestimated. And I think that people are not going to worry about you. And I hope I'm not blowing up your spot, but I think that you could do very I think you would go very far again if you played.
And who the hell would give me a third million, right?
Well, it depends who
Nobody.
You are. Are you in the end with Philip and Russell?
No, with Francesca and Nicole.
Oh, I would definitely vote for you then.
Oh, really? Oh, you're horrible. You're going to definitely be in the doghouse.
Oh, come on. Sandra, you, me, and the listeners all know Nicole's not listening to an hour and 20 minutes into a podcast.
Until that's why your marriage is wonderful.
That's right. That's right. And it's the problem is these Twitter people are going to say, hey, Nicole, listen to this. Well, maybe I'll cut all of this out. We'll cut this whole part out.
Yeah. Hey, look, how do these people know what we're saying? They're listening to us live and then they're
No, nobody's listening. Nobody's listening to us. They asked the questions before. This is recorded.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's live to us, though.
Oh, okay.
All right. So how about let's go from Tyler James Linder wants to know, how would Sandra deal with living with Philip? What kind of colorful insults would you throw his way? Would you insult Philip to his face?
Oh, man. I don't know. It all depends on what he'd be saying. Like, if he would irritate me, like I said, I would wake up and Lil would still be right there. And I just thought...
What did you say to Lil? Why did you insult Lil to her face?
Because of her, you know, Rupert had gone home after we trusted her. You know, just everything started going to hell in a handbasket. And I felt like after we gave her the opportunity to come with us, she turned her back on us to go back to the Morgans. And so essentially I blamed her for everything, you
yeah.
know. And she had to know that I was displeased that day after day that she was still there.
Yeah. Who cried?
By my tongue.
Who cried more, Lil or Dawn?
Lil would cry a lot, but we only see Dawn crying whenever something pops off. It ain't like she cries every week.
Yeah.
So Lil cried more.
Sandra, should Rupert in the Pearl Islands, should Rupert have flipped to the Morgan tribe and just stayed with those guys? Wouldn't he have done better if he just would have like done like Cochran did on Survivor South Pacific?
No, Rupert's mistake was trusting John, and I warned Rupert, and he said no. He swore to me he'd never write my name down again after they had that big confrontation where John wrote down Rupert's name and Rupert wanted to grab him by the neck.
Yeah.
He said, I'll never write your name down, and Rupert believed him. And I said, Rupert, when your torch gets snuffed, there ain't no coming back.
Unless you're Burton or Lil.
Unless you're Burton or Lil. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Burton and John, together with the Morgan girls, voted out Rupert.
Yeah.
And his torch got snuffed, and that was the end of that.
Once somebody votes against you on Survivor, is there any coming back from that?
No, once you mean like, and I get voted off, or
no.
Somebody
like
voted
somebody
me.
Voted against you, but you didn't get enough votes to stay. But they were trying to vote you off. Is there any situation when that person you can live with them and work with them again, or do they have to go?
They have to go because there's no trust. I mean, in the Pearl Islands, I never got any votes. And in Heroes and Villains, I got it from Rupert and Colby. But I used my idol, so those votes didn't count. And then Colby wrote my name down. You know, he voted me out just to vote somebody out. But I didn't take it personal. I really didn't. It was just them thinking I was at the bottom and trying to do anything to stay in the game. It wasn't like a personal attack. They didn't come after me. They just voted that way in hopes that maybe, you know, that they were, somebody else would vote that way also, or just to throw my name out there. But it was like nothing was said before then, and it wasn't like a situation where they were like seriously coming after me. They just threw my name out there. They just wrote it on the parchment, and that was it. There was no logic to it, so I didn't take it personal. But if you came after me the way Corinne went after Philip, and the way, you know, Philip went after Corinne, then that's a different story.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of gray area. I think that there's no rule. But if somebody has shown so much, you know, disdain for you, and they want, you know, are obsessed with you, there's no way that they could ever, you can't come back from that. They got to go.
Yeah, you can't.
Okay, a couple more questions, Sandra. And thank you for spending so much time with us so far.
No problem.
Keith Black wants to know, Corinne, it seems, based on her exit interviews, had a tough time dealing with all of the egos on her tribe. How did you handle dealing with all of those egos on Heroes versus Villains?
With Heroes and Villains, it was kind of different because, like Jeff said, we were being told we were the bad guys and they were the good guys, you know? And there was a lot of things that to us, we really didn't care about. You know, we were sleeping on the ground. We didn't care about fire, you know, to where the heroes had to, they were running this little community, you know. So we were just totally different. And at the end of the day, it was really on the villains, it was every man for himself from the beginning, you know. But I don't think we had big egos. Like, I really didn't pay too much attention to Coach because he was full of baloney. He was full of shit. You know, he's sitting there crying at tribal council because I said that he don't do nothing. If I say something at tribal council, that's because that's what's going down. If I tell you you're worthless and you don't do shit around camp, it's because you're worthless and you don't do shit around camp. Okay? I tell it like it is, and that's why Jeff asked me questions, because he wants to know what's going on. If he didn't want to know what, if Jeff wants to know what's going on, he's going to ask me the question. If he don't give a shit about what's going on, then don't ask me nothing. But when I say something at tribal council, that's because that's what it is, and that's what's going down. But I don't feel like we had big egos over there, you know? Definitely Russell was keeping a lot of things under wrap. We had never seen him play before. You know, it wasn't like he found these idols and came back to camp and told the whole world, hey, everybody here in the village, I found an idol. Hey, I found another idol. Hey, I found a third idol. You know, we don't know none of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't think we had egos. I really don't. Do you think we had egos on the villains?
I mean, I think that there were certainly some big personalities on that tribe, much like there was on this current tribe. And Corinne touched on this in her exit interview, and she said the problem with this tribe was that there were so many people that were the stars of their seasons, and everybody is sort of, you know, hamming it up, looking for screen time. So, I mean, you guys had Coach, who got so much airtime on his season. Then, of course, Boston Rob is another big personality who got a lot of airtime on his season. So I don't know if, you know, then you also have people like Randy and, you know,
Tyson.
Tyson.
You know, but I really didn't look at it like that for real. I just found it that, I, for me personally, I thought for the most part that it was a pretty good group, with the exception of Coach and Russell, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I felt. To me, I've always said that Coach to me is phony. So all that Tai Chi crap that he does on the beach, to me, that's phony. But Rupert was the one that caught me off guard one time, because I wanted to talk strategy to him, and he wouldn't talk unless the camera was right there. And he actually stopped and said, wait a minute, and called the camera over, and then he plays this role like, you know, like, it just became fun, and I'm thinking, like, man, this wasn't the Rupert from the Pearl Islands that I know.
Hmm.
I don't need the camera to be in my face all the time every time I'm saying a couple of things. There's actually one or two things I'd like to say that I don't want, you know, that you don't want the camera crew to hear.
Yeah.
But they just about get everything anyway. But, yeah, like, really, Rupert caught me off guard always. Well, I miss Laura and Rhea. Every night I miss Laura and Rhea. I'm like, this is a freaking act, you know?
Yeah.
That's the crap that, you know, really, it really gets to me.
Gets on
That's
people's
why
nerves.
I say that it irritates me when Don sits there and struggles with voting somebody else. Like, it ain't that hard.
Yeah. I'm telling you, though, I don't think Dawn is faking it. I don't think she should get an Emmy if this is all fake for what Dawn is, how much she's crying.
It's got to be fake because then you know what? If she was going to have trouble voting people off week after week, then why come back to Survivor?
She wants to win the money.
If you have such a rough time voting people off, that's the name of the game. It's you against everybody else for $1 million.
She's very sensitive. All right, so here's a question. This is from Keith Kilduff. He wants to know, what person did you enjoy voting off the most? And was it your strategy to sit tight, or was that just the way it turned out? So I guess a two-part question. Who's the person? Who'd you enjoy voting out the most?
Okay, then I actually had a hand in voting out Coach.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Fair Play.
Oh, well, I was thinking Heroes and Villains.
Let's say all time.
But with Fair Play, I didn't vote Fair Play out because that was Lil that picked me to go to the final two.
Oh, okay.
I didn't write his name down.
That's fair. Okay.
Coach, probably, because you're asking me who did I have a hand in voting out. And then what was the second part of the question?
Your strategy. Did you plan out what you were going to do before you went on the show, or did you
can't plan something when you go out there because you don't know who you're going to align yourself with. You don't know what situation you're going to be in. You know, are you going to get along with these people? You better try to get along with everybody, or you better at least have something in common with every single one of them. You know, you better try to have conversations with everybody. Don't wait till the day you're getting voted off to all of a sudden come up to me and tell me, hey, listen, you know, we want to do this, 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 and that. You know, acknowledge me as a player, which I always say that Kobe didn't. Kobe never sat down and had a conversation with me. I felt like in his eyes that Sandra wasn't a good player, you know?
Yeah. What was Colby's deal on Heroes versus Villains? Why did he seem so checked out in that season?
I don't know. A lot of people were speculating that, you know, he had broken up with his lady or that him and Jeff had broken up because they had a huge friendship and they were broke up.
Is that what happened? That Colby was very sad because him and Jeff ended their, they weren't bros anymore?
Yeah, and I know at a couple of challenges, he would say stuff. Jeff would say something to him. He'd say something back, like sassing him back.
Like bickering?
Jeff would make these faces like he didn't appreciate what the response was.
So would Jeff say things?
Going back and forth.
Would Jeff say things in the challenges like, Colby, really sucking today? And then Colby would get upset?
I can't remember exactly everything word for word, but I know that, you know, Jeff would make a comment, Kobe would respond, then Jeff wouldn't appreciate it. You know, that back and forth.
Whoa.
Like, you're not just going to say whatever. And you know how Jeff is. Like, you know, he'll just tell it like it is at the challenges, you know? So, I mean, but yeah, you know, like, you know, Coach got you, you know, when Coach dragged him from one side to the other. He didn't like that. He didn't like being reminded of that, you know?
Kobe, very sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah, very.
He broke up with everybody.
You broke up with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Will Rontiak wants to know, did Eric make the right move siding with Philip and the Favorites Alliance? We talked about this a little bit on Survivor Know-It-Alls last night. Do you think that Eric made the right call that Malcolm wanted him to vote with the bros, but Andrea said vote with the Favorites, and he voted with the Favorites? Did he make the right decision?
In his eyes, he did because the Favorites had the upper hand. They got the most numbers. Instead of just going with this, you know, alpha male alliance that's possibly not going to last because there's no way to pull that off. You know, there's just but a handful of people. I think Eric made the right move. I think he'll go further than everybody else. Well, within that group that he left behind.
Okay. And one.
But you know what? Now they can only blame him for what went down.
Right. All right. And one last question. This is from John Radich, and he wants to know, if Cochran and Courtney could both win individual immunity, I'm fully expecting Sandra to go out there a third time and win herself an immunity, and then the game. So he doesn't have a question, but let me build on this. Sandra, what was the closest you ever came to winning individual immunity? And what would the challenge have to be for you to win in individual immunity?
The only time I was really happy at my performance at a challenge was when we had like a three-part challenge. And the first time you had to dig a hole and you had to grab this stick and then you had to put it into this maze to get to the other side. And I went really, really fast and broke the piece of glass that fell on the ground.
Yeah.
But then the second step was to take the pieces into that wall and climb up the wall. So, you know, I couldn't get up the wall. But then the third part was doing that last puzzle. I would have freaking killed it. It was just a sliding puzzle. I do those all the time.
Yeah.
The only thing that was in my way was that damn freaking wall. And I'm being nice saying freaking.
So what would the challenge have to be? Would it be an all puzzle for you to win? Like Cochran had this hidden ability to eat the gross food. Is that what you would need? Something like, what is in your wheelhouse that would be the perfect thing?
Nothing physical. Nothing physical. So yeah, probably some sort of puzzle thingy, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Put that out there. And if they want me to win a challenge, they better do a damn puzzle and not put no damn wall up in as a barrier for me to get to the start.
And there's been very few puzzles so far this season. Been very puzzle light season.
But they're coming. As people get more tired and you're not eating as much and you don't have the energy that you would like, the challenges are going to get easier.
Okay. All right. So we'll see what happens. And Sandra, thank you so much for coming on with us and spending a lot of time with us in this interview. But I always...
Dang, how long do we talk for?
Over 90 minutes.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Like a whole movie. Yeah.
Well, my kids are on spring break and they're not down here, so they don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. But we love hearing from you, and it's always fun to hear you talk Survivor because you're not going to pull any punches.
Well, I appreciate you calling me and asking me to be on. It's not every day people call me and say, hey, Sandra, we want to hear what you think.
That's not true, Sandra. Last week we were supposed to have you. You had too many people that wanted to talk to you at once.
Oh, yeah. And I had forgotten. I promised her first. You know, and I was
that's
like, oh, my God.
That's fine.
You know.
We got it all in. All right, Sandra, and who's your pick for the winner for this season before you go?
Cochran.
Cochran. Okay. You love Cochran.
I love Cochran. Thank you.
He's a lot of fun. All right, Sandra. So have a great night, and we'll talk to you again. And we're not going to wait another year to talk to you.
All right, Rob. You know where to find me. You got my number.
Yeah. All right. Take care, Sandra.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Sandra Diaz-Twine. The only two-time winner in Survivor history. Always great on the podcast. Always a lot of fun to talk to. And thank you very much, Sandra, for coming on with us today. So we're going to switch gears now a little bit, and it's time to hear from what you guys have to say and hear what the survivors themselves are saying on social media. Unfortunately, Nicole, who's normally with us during this part of the show, sometimes Nicole has to work on a Thursday, and that's when this happens. So it's going to be just you and me, listener. We're going to go through everything together. And while we're at it, just wanted to take a second to say we really appreciate whenever you guys are subscribing to Rob Has a Podcast. Make sure you never miss an episode. Subscribe either on iTunes or in your favorite podcatcher. I actually started using a different podcatcher because I've been a little frustrated with the new Apple iTunes podcast app, which they put out. And I've been using Downcast, which a lot of you guys turned me on to when I was looking for an app. But I've really figured out how to use it well now. So I'm using Downcast now. And if you want to get your subscription, either in iTunes or however you're getting your podcast these days, you can find all of the links if you go to robhasawebsite.com/showfeeds. And again, I can't thank you guys enough when you leave us feedback on iTunes and give us good 5-star ratings, because that always helps us in the iTunes charts. All right, so speaking of you guys, let's hear a little bit about what you guys had to say this week. So we're going to go ahead and kick things off here with our friend Scott Chupak, who wants to talk about the player of the week, which I always find to be pretty bizarre, and he makes a pretty good point here. So let's hear what Scott has to say.
Rob, this is Scott Shupak. What an awesome episode. So much to talk about, including why they even thought to go for Sherry in the first place, because Cochran almost figured it out just on that alone. But what I really wanted to talk about was the sprint player of the game. So 15 minutes before the end of the episode, they put up the three candidates, which are Cochran, Dawn, and Corinne, which completely gives away the result of the episode, because if Corinne and Malcolm's plan works, the obvious decision would be between Corinne and Malcolm. And so you know that things aren't going to go well, and the fact that you have to choose between, you know, Cochran and Dawn as two of the options make it completely obvious that Cochran and Dawn's plan eventually comes through in the end. Why can't they just put the sprint player of the game after the final tribal council vote? Then they don't spoil anything. It's a perfectly good place for a commercial. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a good point, Scott. I mean, this came up, I think, a little earlier. And I'm not sure if, I don't remember if we talked about this on the podcast or not. There was the episode where, I forget, it was one of the, when one of the fans got voted out. I forget if it was Hope or if it was, it must have been in the episode with Hope, where Allie, who had not said a word yet in the entire episode, was one of the three people for the sprint players of the week. And then afterwards, she saw Reynolds stuffing the idol in his pocket, and then she sort of outed that at Tribal Council. Yeah, I don't know how much they care about this or how much they're thinking about this, but if they really wanted to make it so it was not a problem, just give us everybody. If we want to vote for Malcolm for player of the week, let us vote for Malcolm. You don't have to give us both tribes. I mean, if you want to do it pre-merge when there's 18 or 20 people, just give us the tribe that's going to tribal council, who's the player of the week. And I guess, you know, how am I supposed to know who the player of the week is when I don't even know who went home? So the people who are voting for Corinne at, you know, 8:40, when this thing flashes on the screen, they have no idea Corinne's about to go home. Or maybe they do, and they just are, you know, blind Corinne fans. But I feel like more often than not, you want to wait until the episode ends so you could see how it all plays out. So at that point, yeah, Dawn really hadn't done anything either, I don't think, at the point where you saw that she was crying about stuff and she was getting very excited to eat her food, gross food. But yeah, they should. So this is a two-pronged solution. Or put it, either move it to the end of the show, or if you got to keep it in the middle of the show because people are fast-forwarding, then give us more options so we can at least space it out. So good email there voicemail by Scott. So let's go ahead and let's bring in Peter now, who has a question about future Corinne cast.
Hi, Rob. This is Peter, and I have a request. Now, we all know that 20 minutes of an exit interview is not going to be enough Corinne for her to go into every single thing that happened while she was on that island that she has to talk about, and we all want to hear it. So in the summer, when we're out of the perfect storm of reality TV, you could do like a 2-hour, 3-hour show with her where she can just go off on everything and we can laugh with her and it'll be awesome. So please, can we make that happen? Love your show. Bye.
All right. So Peter is looking for an extended Corinne cast. I was hoping that it might have been Peter from Big Brother Canada calling in and say, Rob, I'm a huge Corinne fan and I'd like to hear more from her on the show. So no, that was not Peter from Big Brother Canada. So here's the thing with the Corinne cast, okay? If, Peter, I want to live in a world where we do a 2 or 3 hour podcast with Corinne at some point over the summer. I want to live in that world. Here's what my concern is. Sometimes the players come back on Survivor, and I haven't spoken with Corinne outside of Survivor, so I don't know, outside of my exit interview with her. So I don't know what her take is. But I'm worried that, you know, somebody like Corinne, who appears to have a lot, from what I see on Twitter, appears to have a life outside of Survivor, you know, after the bad experience with Survivor, sometimes says, you know what, I'm done talking about Survivor. I don't want to talk about Survivor anymore. I'm over it. And they don't want to do a, you know, talk for 1 hour, let alone 2 or 3 hours. So I hope that's not going to be the case with Corinne. And she's always going to want to talk to us and do cast assessments and do all sorts of fun stuff. So I hope Corinne will continue to play with us. And this experience, which didn't go so well, won't jade her from joining us in the future for future fun conversations. Because the great thing about doing the podcast with you guys is I find I get to have all of the fun of getting to talk about Survivor and getting to talk with you guys, and I never get voted out. And that's really the big downside of going on Survivor is you go on and then you get voted out and then you look stupid. So not everybody that gets voted out looks stupid, but you feel stupid no matter when you get voted out. And so what I love about the podcast is that I don't have to have that stress and drama, and we just get to have fun. So I will always be here to talk with you guys about it, and we'll see who the various people who are up to talking about Survivor will be, who will join us to talk. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's bring in Levins in Louisiana, wants to talk a little bit about Malk.
Hey, Rob. This is Levins from Louisiana. I was wondering if you could comment on the level of effort put forth by Malcolm to get Eric's vote. It didn't seem like he tried very hard. All he did was sit down on the beach with them and tell them to vote for Sherry, but Eric's vote was critical for their plan to work. Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, we didn't see it on the show that Malcolm was overly trying to work on Eric. Even Corinne, in her exit interview, she claimed that Malcolm said, "Look, I got Eric," and Corinne was like, "Well, what do you mean you got him? He's very wishy-washy." And of course, he was, and it turned out that Andrea actually had him. But I mean, through 1.5 seasons of Survivor, I feel like I could say with some confidence, I think Malcolm is a pretty good player. I don't think that Malcolm just totally left it up to chance. I think that knowing what we know about Malcolm, I think he probably was working on Eric. Now, whether Eric was being duplicitous or, Eric was swayed by Andrea, or if Eric was afraid of a potential 6-6 tie, we don't really know. But I suspect Malcolm was doing the right thing with Eric and working on Eric with this plan, because I don't think, knowing what we know about Malcolm, he would leave that much up to chance and not really have Eric been talked to on multiple occasions. So again, I don't know anything. I'm just guessing from what we know of Malcolm. All right, so here's a question from one of our listeners who goes by the name Holly Not Hoffman.
Hey, Rob, it's Holly Not Hoffman. Just wondering, with the recent success of the Survivor Amazon and the Survivor Fans vs. Favorites 1 reunion, I was wondering if there would be a Survivor All-Stars reunion, considering you were in the cast. Maybe not for long, but you were still in it.
All right. Thank you, Holly Not Hoffman. Even though you had to get a shot in there. Yes, I was on the cast of Survivor All-Stars. That is a fact. I love doing the Survivor the Amazon reunion, and I had a lot of fun when we attempted to get a Survivor Fans versus Favorites reunion going, and it was a poor turnout with just Joel and Kathy, but I still had a good time. I thought we had a good show with those guys. So I would love to keep doing reunions. I would love to go back to the early seasons and do reunions. And the other thing I'd like to do is going forward is I'd like to always do the 10-year reunion. So in the fall, what I'd like to do is reunite the cast of Survivor Pearl Islands. I wish I would have remembered to bring this up with Sandra. I would assume that Sandra would be on board for it. I've talked to Fairplay about it. I think he would be on board for it. I'm pretty sure Rupert would be on board for it. The questions are, and I think that's actually a good one. I think that the people from Survivor Pearl Islands would all be the major players there. I think would all be up to talk about their season. The question is, how many people do we want to have on this? I know that the gut answer from you guys is probably, well, have everybody. But do we want 10 people in a Google Hangout? Or do we want to have, like, bringing people in? I don't know if you guys ever watched the Jersey Shore, but they used to do their finales where they'd bring, like, 2 or 3 people up on the stay up and ask them questions. And then it was a stupid way to do that. But I feel like something like that might work better to have, talk to 2 or 3 people at a time, And again, the other thing I've noticed with doing these, I never have a real problem with booking people to do interviews with me. But I'm sensing in trying to set up at least two of these reunions, which did not have amazing turnouts, I feel like people don't necessarily want to be reunited with their casts. I feel like people like to talk and give their side of the story, but I'm not sure how many people, how many of the survivors like getting back together with their cast and talking about the story. So I'm happy to do it. I love to do it. I'm hoping we can do a lot of them, but it really depends more on if the survivors want to be reunited. So Holly Knott Hoffman brings up Survivor All-Stars and see that, you know, next year, next spring, will be the 10-year anniversary of Survivor the All-Stars. And if we're just going to go down the list of how many of the Survivor All-Stars want to be reunited, boy, I think that's a tough one. I'll go down the list. I'll tell you, Tina, don't know if she's going to want to do a Survivor All-Stars reunion. Rudy, not sure we're getting Rudy on a Google Hangout anytime soon. Jenna Maraska, she'd probably be there. I'm there. Count me in. That's two. Then Hatch. Hatch might be up for it. I mean, he'd do a Google Hangout. But then Sue Hawk, probably not jumping on a Google Hangout. Ethan, I don't know. I don't know if he's Google Hangouting to talk about Survivor All-Stars. Colby, no, I don't think he's going to do it. Let's see. Jerry could do it. We could have Jerry. So far, it's me, Jerry, Hatch, and Maraska. And then now we get to the jury people. Lex, I don't know if Lex is Google Hangouting anytime soon to talk Survivor All-Stars. Kathy, maybe Kathy might do it. Then let's see who else. Then Alicia, don't know if Alicia's Google Hangouting anytime soon about a Survivor, the All-Stars. Then Sheehan, I have a feeling maybe you could probably get a Sheehan. And then let's see, so far a lot of Mogo Mogo there. And then, I'm not sure how many of the other people, Big Tom, I don't know if he's going to do a Google Hangout to talk about it. I don't think that Jenna Lewis on a webcam, maybe this could happen. So I don't know. Actually, it's sounding a little more realistic than what I thought when I started doing this exercise. But I have a feeling, you know, Rob and Amber aren't Google Hangouting to talk about Survivor All-Stars. I don't think that you're going to get a Lex Big Tom reunion with Boston Rob in that sort of a scenario. So I think the reasons why you would want it, I don't know if you're going to get. So it'll be interesting to see going forward. And who knows, as the podcast continues to grow, maybe we have more juice and more people are interested in doing something with us. So, well, it'll be something that will continue to evolve. But for the fall, I would be excited for the Survivor Pearl Islands. Let's see how that goes. And then we'll see what happens with Survivor the All-Stars reunion in next spring. And who knows, you know? Crazier things have happened. So let's go out to somebody. Let's take a call who is on a phone while driving, wants to talk about the levels of Survivor and call me out a bit. Okay, so always fun when Rob is getting called out. Here we go.
Coming to you live from the Garden State Parkway, it's the voice of reason. Hola to the Rob that sucks in his muy bonita bride. You know, much like a blind squirrel stumbles into a nut, every once in a while, Rob, about 2 hours into the Marty Recap podcast, you stumbled into the most profound thing you've said about Survivor in the last year, and that's the levels of Survivor, and they directly correlate to our enjoyment of the show. Those levels, you said, were something like level one being awesome with a lot of strategy and blindsides and good old Survivor shit, and working its way down to level three, it's just boring, boring, boring Survivor. I totally agree with that. I think it's a great discussion worth having, both on the podcast and on your Facebook page. Where I go the other way with you, though, is on your assessment of this season that we're watching. And I think the problem is you've been on the left coast too long and you're too close to the returning players and you just go soft. You don't judge them as critically as you would if you weren't out there. So what I'd like you to do is put on that Long Island Goomba hat of objectivity, and let's imagine this season was all newbies and they were acting the way they're acting and being edited the way they're editing. Would you still say this is a level two season mostly, or would you say it's boring and more like level three? Open to your discussion. Thanks.
Okay, so calling me out. Am I saying that this season is more level two when it really is more level three? And this is how I defined the levels last week, if you didn't listen that far into the Marty podcast. I said level one is what this episode was this week, where everybody agrees there's a lot of strategy. Everybody says, wow, that was a great Survivor episode. The outcome is in doubt unless you know are looking at the who was nominated for the Sprint Player of the Week. And it's very exciting and there's a blind side. That's level one. Level two is it's a very predictable vote out, but crazy stuff is happening. People are getting into fights. Philip is doing crazy stuff. Brandon Hance is having a meltdown. That's, you know, the level. Tarzan is making up words and calling stains different things. That's level two Survivor. And level three Survivor is nobody's being interesting or doing anything kooky, and it's a predictable vote out. So that's the level three stuff. So am I being, I don't know. I don't think I'm being overly, I mean, I think I've been critical of the season. I mean, I haven't been like on a soapbox talking about how much this season sucked. I think I've said quite a bit that I'm not sure. I know Jeff said it multiple times that this was going to be one of the best seasons ever, and we've all been waiting for it to get good, and maybe hopefully this week was the first domino and it starts to get much better. If these were all new people, if this was just, you know, a regular season of Survivor and it was just Gota versus Bacall, would I think any differently of this season? I would probably think it was better, because I think I would have lower expectations. If this was the first time we were seeing Philip, I think we're spoiled. I think that if this was Philip 1.0 and we never saw him before, we'd be like, oh my God, Philip, this guy Philip is casting gold. Where did they find this guy? And I think that we did feel that way the first time we saw Philip. Now, maybe you might be saying Philip is played out, and maybe that's a product of him coming back a second time. But if this was the first time we were seeing Philip, I think we would be thoroughly enjoying Philip's antics here. And so I don't know if we saw Brandon Hance for the first time. I mean, I don't know. I don't think that my opinions on this season have been too influenced by knowing the people. But I mean, that's up to you guys to make that call and not really for me. And I think that this has been a lot of level two stuff this season. I would hardly call this level three, because it's been, while the outcomes have been predictable, I think there's been enough stuff to, you know, if I'm doing a 2 hour and 45 minute podcast or over two hour podcast, you know, almost every week on this show, there's stuff to talk about. So there's got to be, it can't be level three that it's boring and there's nothing to talk about. So I feel like I stick by my assessment of this being level two Survivor, with this past week being level one. And we've got one more voicemail question. The levels has really inspired a lot of talk. Here's Adam in Melbourne, wants to talk more about the levels.
The three types of Survivor episodes: the really good Survivor that we all love, the crazy, and the boring. Now, do you think that Survivor are thinking, okay, what we can rely on is the crazy? And that's what they've done this year by the casting, that they've got a more reliable hit rate for your second category in that, producing the crazy TV. Would they been better off or be regretting not picking as many game players for this season? All right, thanks, Rob. Bye.
Yeah, now this is a great point that Adam makes of, does casting say, hey, if we're looking at the Rob Cesternino levels of Survivor, level one, level two, level three, we never will have any guarantee that we will ever get level one Survivor. We could put all of the best game players out there, but there's no guarantee that will be a good season, because the game players all might do what's in their best interest and there might be a total pagonging. There's no guarantee that great game players will necessarily be a, now there's a better chance than if you had all dumb players, but it's tough to bank on level one Survivor. I mean, look at Brenda, who was my pick before this season, who I said, oh my God, this Brenda knows how to play the game. She is a solid player. She is going to take the next step. And Brenda, by everybody's admission, has been boring this season. So what happened? Brenda was supposed to give us level one stuff, but she's giving us level three stuff. However, we know if we put Philip out there, we put a Brandon Hance out there, even a Shamar, we know we're going to get some level two stuff. We know that they're going to be kooky, they're going to act out, and there will be drama. And so we can bank on the level two stuff much more than we can bank on anything happening level one. Now, did we go too much with banking on level two stuff this season? Maybe that's a possibility. But I do think that people say, all right, well, this is why we're going to bring back Coach, because we know that. And Coach actually wasn't as kooky the third time they brought him back. But if you figure, you know, you bring back people who've given you the level two stuff in the past, then there's a good chance you'll at least be getting the level two stuff going forward. And at least we got something to talk about here on the show. And we never have to worry about the level three survivor of it's boring and there's nothing to talk about. So I think that's probably the biggest fear of the show. And maybe they worried about it a little too much when they were setting up these rosters on this season. So, all right, one last question. And this comes to us from a friend of mine, John.
Big Rob, this is Jonathan Penner. I'm calling to lodge a complaint with RHAP. It is a heaping plate of bollocks that I have not yet appeared on the podcast for this Survivor Karamoan season, especially when there's so much to podcast about. I mean, my boy Malcolm set himself up to make a ballsy move this week, but now it looks like he's about to lose his hat, ass, and shoes here. And Philip, boy, he is eating up the screen time like I eat a pepperoni pizza. I think I'd rather impale myself naked on a red anthill than listen to one more word out of his potso mouth. But I digress. Rob, I look forward to speaking with you intelligently and openly in the near future. Until then, keep your sunny side up.
Oh, my God. Jonathan Penner. Now, all right, so we have a pretty decent Penner impression, although let me run this through the Penner computer here. This is how I work on all these impressions. All right, Penner computer, what's the rating on that Penner impression?
First off, you do a terrible Penner imitation.
Oh, no. Okay, so the Penner computer came back terrible on the Penner impression scale. I promise you we will get you a podcast with Penner. I've been in communication with Penner, and we will talk to him later on this season. I don't think Penner likes the Penner impressions. I don't know if he doesn't. At best, he's indifferent. At best, he is indifferent. And at worst, maybe he really doesn't like it. So I would love to talk with Jonathan Penner. I promise you that we will get him on the podcast this season. The Penner impression that this guy did, I feel like it was almost like if Penner and Shatner, Captain Kirk, had a baby. Here's the Penner-Shatner.
Big Rob, this is Jonathan Penner. I'm calling to lodge a complaint with RHAP. It is a heaping plate of bollocks that I have not...
Like, he's very, very stilted. He's like, Rob, I'm here to call a complaint about RHAP. I would want to have a pizza and, you know, but good, a very good effort, I would say. Best impression that we've gotten to date on the voicemail. So, very good job by the fake Jonathan Penner, leaving us a voicemail. All right, so let's get into the social media for this week. And a great job by the head of our staff here at Rob as a Podcast, Kevin Donnelly. And so we have people following all of the survivors on social media, tracking down what they're talking about. And so here's the best of the best from Survivor social media this week on a pretty exciting Survivor week. Let's start off with Laura Alexander. She was one of the fans this season. She tweeted, @JohnMCochran is a sex machine. Whoa. So I don't know what that was in response to or at what time, but look at John Cochran go. A sex machine, according to Laura Ashley Alex on Twitter. All right, here's Sherry at Sherry Beethman. She tweets out, Merge Feast, hope it doesn't turn into a diarrhea fest. Oh, you always have to hope it doesn't turn into a diarrhea fest at all times. Reynolds, he tweets to Russell Hance, I attended your seminar on how to find hidden immunity idols, but I think I missed the day when you discussed how to play them. Ha ha. So Reynolds reaching out to Russell. Malcolm tweeted for this week, you know, the gross food competition certainly led to a lot of chatter on Twitter. Malcolm tweeted, Cochran swallows better than me. So there you go. That's from Malcolm on Twitter. Okay, so let's go. That was all the fun stuff on Twitter. Now let's get into some of the stuff that got a little rough out there on the Twitter this week. Now, Corinne has a lot of people who are her fans, and some of them are also gay. But also, Corinne has detractors, and specifically, she has a detractor who played on her season with her, and she goes by the name of Jessica Sugar Kuiper, and she was fired up last night to see her nemesis, Corinne, end up getting voted out on Survivor. So here's some of what Sugar had to say on Twitter last night. This was the earlier, before the show started. She said, hey guys, spoiler alert, I hear tonight's episode is pretty good, ha. So then she tweeted about who gives an S who Corinne is friends with. She's a terrible human being. I talk to everyone, but I'm closest to Matt. I guess somebody had asked her, who are you close with? And she then wrote about how Corinne is more educated than she is, but she has the street smarts. And then she also tweeted, she posted a video on Vine. I actually follow Sugar on Vine. Sugar is a big Viner. If you don't know what that is, that's a site that's like a Instagram for video. It lets you make a 6-second video. And she recorded a video of Corinne getting voted out, which was on repeat, and tweeted the message, goodbye, bitch, sweet, no jury for you. So Sugar, very excited. Now, in fairness, I don't know what Corinne tweeted during the first episode of Survivor Heroes versus Villains. Actually, I don't think Corinne was on Twitter at the time, but we can only imagine what Corinne might have been tweeting to see Sugar go out first on a season of Survivor. So Corinne and Sugar, it's just never going to work out. Maybe we can get Miss Survivor to get involved here and try to settle this score, which has just been going on and on. And you know what? I would not mind a Sugar versus Corinne season of Survivor. The only question is, which tribe would we put Philip on? Would you want to have Philip? Would Philip be with Sugar, or would we want him to antagonize Corinne? So that would be. And where does Francesca go in that season? And is Corinne versus Sugar? Is that the season where we're bringing back Sandra and Russell and Philip and Fairplay? And which tribe? This is a very exciting season of. We'll just call it Survivor people who hate each other and Survivor rivals. I think maybe we could come up with some good branding of this, and we'll just bring back survivors who just are mortal enemies with each other. Not like cute sort of a take little shots at each other. Just people who would probably, if left unsupervised, would kill each other. I think this could be a pretty good season of Survivor. So Eric Reichenbach tweeted, working on a sick comic book. No, really. It's sick. I'm drawing two sperm talking right now about STDs, not to be confused with the SDT rules, which would we have a feeling that Eric Reichenbach is not checking out the SDT rules. He's busy drawing sperm talking to each other about STDs. Then Eric, he also tweeted out, glad everyone liked my painting. If you like the hashtag #EnilEdam tribe flag on Survivor, check out some of my Etsy art. And you could check out some more. I have to say, Eric did a hell of a job on the painting. Not ice cream scooper Eric, comic book painter Eric. You can go to Etsy.com/shop/Eric Reichenbach comic. Okay, let's check out Rupert tweeted last night. Rupert tweeted, quit chewing and swallow. And also tweeted, the less you chew, the better off you are. Don't bite it. So that's from Rupert on Twitter. And okay, well, let's get to Russell here. And you know what? It's gotten to the point on Russell's Twitter where I can't even say what Russell is tweeting about and, you know, not put this podcast up with a really explicit tag on it. So let me just give you, this will be the part of the podcast where I give you the gist of what Russell is tweeting about without giving you the exact transcription. So Russell started out the night with a innocently enough hashtag Brenda Who. That was a pretty decent one. Russell also tweeted, good thinking at Corinne Sanity, but too soon, babe. Unsmiley face. Then he also said, some people hate when I say cuss words like, and then he lists, rattles off a bunch of words, which we're not going to say right here. And then says, how else am I going to describe at P Shepherd TV? Please help. And then that one is with a smiley face. Russell, very into the emoticons on Twitter. And so then he accused Philip of having a romantic relationship with Boston Rob. Then he talks about Cochran and his swallowing prowess and compares him to some girls that he dated. Then he also is going to discuss Andrea and her abilities to swallow things in the challenges. And then talks about Philip is stupid and goes on and on about that for a little bit. And lastly, Malcolm, you better hope your bitch ass never plays with me. You remind me of my last girlfriend. Are we even sure that you have? And he uses a euphemism for the male genitalia. So I'm not sure about Russell's last girlfriend, what Russell's trying to say. And if you'd like to read the unfiltered version of what Russell's tweeting about, you can always go to twitter.com/RussellHance. And maybe somebody can help me understand exactly what Russell's talking about there. I don't know why Russell has a problem with Malcolm after this last episode of Survivor. I don't know what Malcolm did that antagonized Russell somehow. But we're just happy Russell is not tweeting about us. So again, we'll say, all right, whatever. All right. So tweet of the week. Let's go to David Allen. At Eastwood McFly, he tweeted, doesn't Sherry own a Taco Bell? Why is she having a hard time keeping these delicacies down? That's pretty funny. And I think that is it from the social media. So thanks. Great job to Kevin Donnelly. And it looks like next week, the head of our interns is going to be Mark Solera. So welcome back, Mark, to the head position here on Rob Has a Podcast. So that being said, that's going to do it for a Survivor podcast for this week. Thank you guys for sticking through all the way to the end of this one. We always appreciate it. And so we've got a busy weekend coming up here, busy reality TV weekend. So Friday night, I am going to be heading down to the reality rally. I will have a booth set up and doing interviews with all of the reality stars that they bring to me. And I will have those up for you early in next week. We're going to shoot some video, going to get some audio interviews. We'll post them all on the website for you guys, and that should be a lot of fun. If you're attending the reality rally, please come and say hello. I love meeting the listeners, and I really am very excited to ever meet people in person that have actually listened to an episode of Rob Has a Podcast. So that is always a thrill for me. So definitely come and say hi if you're going to be down in Temecula for the reality rally. And we're very excited. Team Internino, that is going to be led by Jessica Frey and Clayton Spivey and Costa Saltis. They're going to be running the race, not with this guy, because we came in last place last year. They're going to be running the race with the specialist himself, and I've advised them to follow the specialist and do what he says, because that is how we have the happiest times with the specialist, because you have to follow his lead and you will get a nickname, and that is what we all want at the reality rally. So That's going to do it for this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. Thank you to you guys who are still using our links for Amazon.com. When you need to make a purchase, start your shopping out at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. You'll get a great deal and you help support Rob Has a Podcast. And so we're going to get ready to do it all over again. Here we go. Another week of the perfect storm of reality TV. No Amazing Race coming up on Sunday. So we're going to do Celebrity Apprentice podcast on Sunday. And then a busy week ahead of we're going to get our Reality Rally podcast up and plenty more. And leading us into I'm going to be traveling to New York for we are shooting Reality Game Masters next weekend. So to all you guys who have helped us make this happen, a preemptive thank you to you guys because it's happening and we're going to be in New York next weekend. Lots of survivors and big brothers are going to be around for that and really looking forward to it. So enjoy your weekend, everybody. And again, if you're going to be at the Reality Rally, come say hi. Everybody else, have a great one and we will talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.